privilege to be back to the pulpit again after about, I guess, almost 3 months absence. Squirrels is having a hard time. So have I. Oh, relax though now and feel more like entering into the service again and expecting now to start this coming week, this coming Wednesday night for a revival right here in the tabernacle. And if God willing, I have kindly, Lord has promised me a different and new type of ministry. And if He pleased to do so, I hope to begin that new type of service this coming week here at the tabernacle for the first place. And then I have no scheduled meetings, but just Australia and New Zealand for this coming January. And then Brother Osborne is calling for a joint meeting. And I kind of promised him here some time ago in Tulsa, a little later on, but we're not sure of that yet. It was certainly good, Brother Jeffries, to get to shake your hand back here and also to hear your boy sing that song and you play. I kind of like that father and son.
Amen.
Don't you like that?
Amen.
Bring up a child in the way that it should go. That's right, Mr. Ginther. You know that that's right, both of you. Bring up a child in the way that it should go, and when he gets old, it'll not depart. And that's true. There may be sometimes that he may depart from it, but it won't depart from him. See? It'll always stay with him. That early training and whatever he's been brought up to do, it'll certainly stay with him. Now, I met Brother Jeffries out there, and I said, Brother Jeffries, I thought, you know, I'm always glad to see any of my visiting brethren in, but such a night for a visiting brother to come. This is the night of just the folks that come to Tabernacle, just prayer, this revival. This is the night we want to take tonight and tomorrow morning and tomorrow night just on what we believe here at the Tabernacle. To rehearse it over again. We have some awful, odd beliefs. Very strange. But somehow or another, we find them in this Bible. They seem to be there all right. And now, if there would be a strange brother or sister in that belongs to a certain denomination or disagrees, just sitting in on this for tonight, we want you to know that you're perfectly welcome. See, you're just as welcome as you can be. But now, we make this pretty rough, so if it seems that you don't agree with it, well, now, you do that like I do when I'm eating cherry pie. And when I'm eating cherry pie, which is my favorite, when I eat the pie, if I run into a seed, I don't throw the pie away. I just throw the seed away and just keep on eating pie. So, or like eating chicken. Now, all of you all like chicken. See? And when you hit the bone, you don't quit. You just go around the bone and keep eating chicken. Well, that's what you do tonight while I'm staying here. You just, when you hit something, you say, now, I'm just sitting in this as a little church doctrines in these next three meetings. They're just kind of rehearsing what they believe and going over it. And the only way you can nearly make a person believe it is drive it home so hard that they'll have to know that that's the thing that's right. That's the only way you can make it stick. And like a friend of mine, Mr. Woods, I've been with, if you just drive a nail halfway in and the board's all loose, the wind will blow it down pretty soon. But you got to drive her in and make it stick hard. So now, if I just make this real rude on some of these places and these visitors tonight that's sitting on, I'm not trying to throw you off. I'm just trying to drive home to this church what we believe. All understand that now, real good, say amen. That's okay. And I'll get this off my hands, and then they're recording it and so forth, that later on, if they want to find out then what we really stand for and what the grounds that we stand on, these recordings will tell it. And then we do this ever so often. Because there's new people comes in, and we go ahead. And now, we won't be able to go over all the church doctrines, but just some of them, if we want to speak on. And now, Wednesday night, oh, starts Monday and Tuesday, I'm going away to pray, get ready for healing service. And you can get on the phones or wherever you wish to and bring in anybody that you want to for this coming revival and tell them not to come in a hurry now. Not come say, well, now I'm going to run in and be prayed for tonight and tomorrow night's all good. You don't do that. You come in and listen a while. Because we want to take our time and lay that word out so close that the devil won't even have one little speck of room to ever move. And then when you let your faith run out to its end, till you begin to believe, then let your subconscious go to acting, then the faith of God will back it up. Then you'll go right on out. See? Because your faith won't do too much. Your subconscious has to move in the direction that your faith is moving, and then God's faith moves in behind and confirms it all. See? But if it's your faith, oh yes, I've got it right now, and even your subconscious rolling back here saying, I wonder if it'll work on me. It won't do it right then, see. So we want this to be a real healing service, and before I get anyone into the rooms and so forth for the healing or this new services, I want them to really understand what they're coming in there for. So just remember and come and visit us, and we'd be glad to have you. Now remember, in the morning, if we're going to continue on with the church doctrine, and tomorrow night, the same way. Now, you're welcome to come, and anybody can come. We're always glad to see anybody. But now this tonight is just directed home to the people that's of the tabernacle here that's raised up in this doctrine. Or out in the fields, evangelistic fields, we just take the real fundamental evangelical doctrines of the Scriptures. But here at the tabernacle, we got our own thoughts and our own beliefs as a church. And that's what we're to go over tonight. And before we open His blessed Word, can't we just bow our heads for a moment of prayer? Almighty and powerful God, who before the world ever started whirling on the first Adam, You were God. You haven't changed a bit, and when there is no more atoms to hold it up and there's no more world to be held up, You'll still be God. You're for everlasting and from everlasting, Thou art God. You never had a beginning of days or ending of life. You'll always be. And Father, You being infinite and we finite, then we ask for Your divine mercy, God. Realizing that this spirit of ours is to blend into the eternity, out of the time elements into eternity. Therefore, Lord, we're here to check up on our salvation, to see how we're standing in the sight of Thy Word, and to see how we are situated in our experiences. Are we living that which is pleasing to Thee? Does our spirit bear record with Your spirit? And does our teaching bear record with this Bible? And Father, may we examine both closely in these next three coming services. Grant it, Lord. Bless the pastor here, the deacons, the trustees, and all the laity, the people who come to this church. Since my days, Your Lord, there's many, many, and I don't even know their names or where they come from, but I'm sure that You know all about them. And we're here for that one purpose tonight, Lord, to fellowship around the written Word. And give us the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can step peacefully and soberly and in the fear of God and examine our lives by His Word. Grant it, Lord. And in this building tonight, Lord, there is my brethren of different phases of the church. And Lord, I'm so thankful that they are here to fellowship. Maybe we might disagree upon little principles of doctrines, but in that one great major principle, We're standing as united brethren in a front that, oh God, may it strengthen our fellowships and our and the bonds of God's grace and love rest upon us richly. Now realizing, Lord, that this is too much of a job for a man to do, because we have here under consideration tonight the destination of souls as eternity bound. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will get right into the Word and will lay it out and explain it in His own way to us, the things that He would have us to know. Grant it, Lord, and when the times of service is over, may we go as a strengthened church, as a united together to put our hearts and our aims all together with our fellow citizens of the kingdom of God and move forward like never before. I want to thank you, Lord, here in the presence of the church and of the peoples that's here, that you gave me now several weeks of good rest. I feel wonderful tonight because of your presence and your blessings. Oh God, we pray for brother here, our brother that's going overseas, way down into those dark, dingy countries where his very life lays as a target. But oh Lord, bless our brother Jeffries as he goes, and his son and his wife, and give him great increase. May he cut holes through the darkness until the gospel light will shine far and wide. Hear us, Father, for we ask this petition in the name of the Lord Jesus, thy Son. Amen. Now tonight, reading in my small Scofield Bible, I've just passed 25 years old recently, and I can still read it, but it gets pretty dim. So I've got me a pair of reading glasses when I'm studying, and I'm going to see how it works tonight for my first time. Now, I have subjects like this that must the church, many things if we can get to them. One of them, why are we called the church? Why are we not a denomination? Why do we believe in the eternal security of the soul of the believer? Why do we condemn women preachers? Why do we baptize by immersion? And will the church go through the tribulation? And many of those subjects here, I guess I got 15 or 18 of them for the next few nights. So I'm thinking tonight to begin with, to start with, it seems to be the Lord lays upon my heart just for this subject, the why are we not a denomination? The reason that now we have nothing against other people who are denominations. We have nothing against them, but I want to explain why that we never went in with any denomination. I was ordained in a little Baptist church, as you know, and the Baptist is not a denomination, wasn't until just recently, and now it's becoming just as much a denomination as the rest of them. But the reason that we never become a denomination, now we are an organization. We are an organization recorded here in the courts as an organization, a group of people that's organized together to worship Christ, but we're not in a denomination. No one is going to dominate over us, you see. It's not a denomination. It's just an organization of fellowship amongst Christian believers. People come here to the church, and this becomes their home church if they wish to come as long as they live in. They can come here and disagree with everything that we preach. That's perfectly all right. It's still, as long as you are a Christian, you've got fellowship and a handout just the same as the rest of them. See? If I said, I believe in baptizing by immersing by water, and you believed in sprinkling and stayed right on it, would still be just the same as we was if we both agreed. We might not be able to see eye to eye like, but as long as you are a Christian brother or sister, you're perfectly welcome. See, everybody. So we don't have any denominations, because I think that denomination separates brotherhood. Some of us say, well, we ain't got nothing to do with that revival. That's a Methodist revival. Well, that's Baptist. We're Methodist. We ain't got nothing to do with that. Brother, if Christ is in it, we got all to do with it. We got to put our... It's the body of Christ that is suffering. And I see that so much in the lands today. Now, Christ never did at any time ever organize any denominational church. I just let that be well assured. Now, I'm going to ask you tomorrow night, if any of these things you want to know, like some history that I'm quoting or something other, I don't have time just to drain that through, and we'll get to another subject, because you can spend weeks on that very same subject. But if you want to know the place, anything, just ask me, lay it up here on the desk, and I'll get it answered for you. Now, the oldest denomination and the first denomination church that we ever had is the Catholic Church. And it was organized 300 and something years after the death of the last apostle. And that's right. You get it in the early Nicene Fathers, and you get it in the writings of Josephus, and all many of the great historians, see? And as far as in the any of the church ages down through until the death of the last apostle in 300 years, the other side of the apostle, there was no denominational churches. And the Catholic was the first denominational church. And the Protestant church are the denominations who had pulled out of a denomination. The first Reformation come was Luther. After Luther comes Swingley. After Swingley comes Calvin. And just on down like that. And down to the Wesleyan Revival. And on down to Alexander Campbell, John Smith, and whatmore. See, on down to the last movements that we have up now is the different phases of the Pentecostal age. And I believe that God has dealt in each age. But did you ever notice that every time a church ever fails, and as soon as they denominate, they start failing right then? And whenever they fail, God never raises that church again. It goes right straight to seed. Now you want to know the history on that, we can produce it, that there was no church, not ever in the history of churches, has any denomination ever fell and ever rose again. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever it may be, when they fell, they are gone. Now, that's right. Now, this I told you now, put on the jackets, because we're going to make this stick thing. There has never, at one time, when a man come out as an individual and organized a church. It started, God deals with individuals, amen, not with denominations. God in no age ever dealt with a denomination. He's always dealt with an individual. In the Old Testament, He dealt with individual. In the New Testament, He dealt with individual. In any age, He's always dealt with individuals and not denominations. So therefore, if God isn't in the denomination, what's use me having anything to do with it at the denomination? Now, I'm not talking about the people in that denomination. I'm talking about the denomination itself, because God's people's in all those denominations. Now, God never lets anything happen unless He gives a warning to it. I don't believe there's anything that, now, like we have issues that comes out of the churches, such as we had one recently about blood and oil and so forth, and you know the Dear Brother Branham letter and so forth. But the reason that I stood against that, because it's not in the Word. And that's the reason that I'm against denomination, because it's not in the Word. it has to have something we have to base our faith upon. And if we can't base it upon some denomination, we've got to base it upon God's Word. For that is the only foundation, is God's Word. And then if God's Word doesn't speak of a denomination, but speaks against the denomination, then we must speak with the Word. Regardless of what bishop, what anyone says, what anyone thinks, what a good man says, what anything says, if it's not according to God's Word, then it's wrong. See? It must be, the Word must be the last thing. God's Word must be the final amen. Now, remember, I'm not unchristianizing anyone. You understand that? In denominations, there's tens of thousands of precious souls in all those denominations who are God's children. But to separate them and segregate them, I'm against it. And God's Word's against it. And I believe that there isn't an ism that's in the land today. There isn't an ism that's ever been in the land. But what that was foretold coming by God's Word. I believe that God's Word supplies everything that we have need of right here in the Word. From our beginning to the end, it's found right in God's Word. And then I believe that if it's in God's Word, then we should, it foretells, and God's Word is a warning. Now, you don't read God's Word just like you read a newspaper. You read God's Word by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. See? Because the Holy Spirit itself speaking through Christ, Christ thanking God that He had hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and would reveal them to babes such as would learn. So you see, there's no way of ever being educated. There's no way of ever denominating. There's only one way to get right, that's being led by the Spirit of God. And that experience you had must cope with this Word. See? Then you got it. See? Like, when we get down here in a few minutes now, we're dealing with people who are some of them are radical Calvinists, some of them are radical Arminians, and different ways. Now, there's always, no matter how thin you slice it, it's got two sides to it. It's exactly right. And they both got arguing points. But the thing is, where lays the truth of it? That's where we're coming to. Where we think, by the grace of God, we show it the truth of it. Now, let's just take, and this is just where I got some of these church doctrines wrote out. Let's turn in your Bibles, just a few minutes, all of you now. And let's get over to Revelations, the first chapter. Or the Revelations, the 17th chapter to start with. And let's just start reading and find out now where these churches began at and what started. Now, the Bible forewarns everything. It forewarns the days that we're living in. And now, Revelation's the 17th chapter, if you will. I said 13th. I didn't mean that. That's on the... We get that extra law, too. That's in the prophets of the United States. But listen real close now. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Now remember, this sounds mysterious. Now, this ill-famed woman. Now, if we're going to teach this, you've got to find out first what these symbols mean. Now, a woman in the Bible represents church. How many know that? That we are a bride. The church is a bride. Come here and I'll show you the judgment. Now, there's going to be a judgment spoke upon the great whore, the unclean woman, that sets upon many waters. Now, the woman symbolizing a church, and water symbolizes people. Now, if you'll notice it, also, look at the 15th verse while you're there. 15th verse of the same chapter. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. See? Now, this great church, great woman, now remember, she is an ill-famed woman. And if woman represents the church, and Christ church is a bride, a holy bride, then here is an unholy woman. That would have to be an unholy, pretended to be bride. See? Now, and what does she do? She sets upon, or to be above means to have the governing over many waters. In other words, she's got power through all the nations and tongues and people. She's a great person, this woman. Now, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Kings of the earth have committed fornications. Rich man, great man. How would a king commit fornications with the church? It's spiritual fornication. Spiritual, what is fornication? It's like a woman living untrue to her husband. She's living with another man while she's got a husband. And this church, then, is pretending to be the bride of Christ while she's committing fornication with the kings of the world with her unclean living, unclean profession. Oh, it's deep and it's rich. I just love the word. Now, notice, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornications, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Her wine is what she was giving out, her stimulation. We are the church. We are the ones God is. See? I just draw that in your mind now. All right. So he carried, the angel told John, we'll show you this judgment is coming to this great church. Now what? So he carried me away in the spirit and to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Scarlet in the Bible represents royal. The color scarlet means red. And beast represents power. Did you notice the beast come up out of the sea? That was in the Revelation of the 13th. And when you see the beast coming up out of the sea, it meant that this power was raising up among the people. But in Revelation 13, when this lamb came up, he came up out of the earth. No people, United States. But then after he had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical powers, and then he received power and spoke like the dragon did before him. So you just got to mark it down. We are coming into a religious persecution with the same things that they did in pagan Rome many years ago. For it's thus saith the Lord. Now, what is it? Setting up on a beast of power. Did you notice Rebecca? When Eliezer found her, it was in the evening time, and she watered the camel. Because Eliezer said, if the damsel that comes and waters this camel, that will be the, in his misery, that will be the one that you have chosen, Lord, to be the bride of your servant Isaac. And while he was yet in prayer, Rebecca come and draw water and give him a drink and watered the camel. Notice, the camel was a beast, and that same beast that she was watering was the one who passed her to her bride, Isaac. And today the power of the Holy Ghost that the church is watering and worshiping is the thing that will pass it from this earth to meet the bride. Yeah. Sure. Isaac was out in the field in the evening. We don't meet the Lord up in glory. Ephesians the 5th chapter says that we shall meet him in the air. Oh, that makes the Methodists get ready to shout. Think of it. See, the Lord Isaac
which had come out from his father's house and was out in the field when he saw Rebecca coming on the camel, and she loved him at first sight and jumped off the camel and run to meet him. That's right. That's where we meet the Lord. And the very camel that she watered packed her to her husband. And the very power that the church is worshiping, that the world's calling fanaticism, that the church is worshiping, will be the same power that will take the church up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. The Holy Spirit. See? There is, and look, Rebecca was a virgin. And this woman is a prostitute we're speaking of here. Now, you get what the power is now? The power, what the means that the beast, she was on a scarlet. Now, what kind of a beast would it be? Scarlet? That would be a rich power. What kind of a church is this she's going to be now? She's a rich church. And she's a great church. And she's a powerful church. And she has influenced, sweeps the multitudes and people, and the kings of the earth have committed spiritual fornications with her. That's a great man of the earth. Now, we're going to find out who she is just in a minute, and find out about these denominations. And the woman was arrayed in purple, kingly, red and purple and scarlet colors, decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. What she have in her hand? For doctrine. What she's holding out to the people. We are the church. We are this. And she's made the kings of the earth to come drunk with her like that. We are this. We're the great power. We sweep every nation. We're the greatest church there is. Come on. Drink water. Here, pour out a little bit of it. You take it. There it is. See? And she had in her hand a cup. Look. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now, friends, we're not reading a daily newspaper. We're reading God's eternal and blessed Word. All heavens and earth will pass, but that Word will remain. Right. And upon her head was written the name, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. Now, here some time ago, I don't think in the church here, but I preached on the subject, handwriting on the wall, and give the historical standing of Babylon. Now, every ism that ever come up, every religion and every ism that there is in the world today began in Genesis. Now, if you get hostage to Babylon, you want to chase in history, or some of those fine books, you can even find every ism that you want to find. I'm going to take you back there in a few minutes on women preachers, see, and show you just where it first started from. See, back in Genesis. And all these different things, it's how they come up out of Genesis. Genesis means the beginning. How many knows that that's right? Genesis is the beginning. So everything that is had to have a beginning. When I look at a tree, I've been in the woods for a couple trees, about 2 months. I see a tree, how pretty it is. I see it, it goes down. Nothing comes up in its place. Perpetual life. And I think of that. But somewhere that tree had a beginning. It had to have a beginning. And the only way it could be designated to be a tree, or to be an oak, or a beech, or a poplar, or a palm, or whatever it was, there had to be a master intelligence behind it. Or if it just wouldn't have been one oak tree, everything in the world would have been all oak trees. But something great, master intelligence, had to set it in order. Let it be His holy name. He's the one who set the moon and the stars in the solar system. He set everything in its order. And He'll set His church in order. It'll turn just like He wants her to turn. He's with back on us or south or whatever it is, when we can get these denominational ideas out of our mind, throw ourselves wholly into Calvary. He'll set it in order if we're just as submissive as the trees and his other creation. You ever see the moon saying, I ain't going to shine tonight. Some of you stars shine in my place. But we, we're different, you see. Now, Babylon. Watch how Babylon appears. It appears in the first of the Bible. It appears in the middle of the Bible. And it appears in the last of the Bible. Now, there's something. Now, I begin with Nimrod. Nimrod founded Babylon and the Shinar Valley, right close to the Tigris River, and the Euphrates passed through, and how that every road through all that country led straight to Babylon. And each one of those gates were about 200 feet across, those gates made out of brass. And when he got inside of the city of Babylon, every street led straight to the throne. Now you can go to Rome today, and every road will lead to Rome. And there's a little Virgin Mary thing on every corner, and a turn of the road with a Christ child in her hand, pointing that way towards Rome. See? It appears in the first of the Bible, it appears in the middle of the Bible, and here it is in the last of the Bible. Now, I just want to read on this for a few minutes so we get the background of this thing. All right. And I saw the woman, now watch the church. When you see a woman, just think of church, see? I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Now, where does the word saint come from? The word saint comes from sainted one or sanctified one. Sainted. All right. I saw her drunk with the blood of the saints. Now, if this woman is the church, she's persecuted the saints. And she's the greatest church. She has power all over the earth. She's over many waters, and she's the kings of the earth commit fornications with her. Well, who is she? I have a mystery. Now, the spirits go to, you know, there's supposed to be 9 spiritual gifts in the church. To wisdom, and one to understanding, and one for healing, and one for so forth. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Look like they didn't care much what Jesus said, what the church said. That's right. And that's correct, too. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I wondered with admiration. It was a marvel thing about her. How did I wonder, how did she? Now let me take John's place and try to open that up a little bit, see? John says, there she sits. She's pretending to be a Christian church. She's got all the access to the monies of the world. She's got the kings of the earth in at her feet. She's a rich and colorful thing. And how can she be drunk with the martyrs of Jesus? How can she persecute the saints? How can she kill those martyrs of Christ? And yet she's claiming to be a Christian herself, a Christian church. Now, watch. And the angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, and which had 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, this is just common reading here. Now, you catch this, this will be very easy. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall descend out, ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast which was, which is not, and yet is. Now this has got the pitch. So here it is. He said, now notice that when all, not just a few, but all that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, all of them will wonder, the whole world will wonder about this woman, there's just one group that won't be wondering about it. And that's those who had their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I just might as well squeeze to sin right here, because we're going to get into it in a few minutes. See? When was their names put on the Lamb's Book of Life? From when the last revival they attended, the night they went to the altar, the night they joined the church. I'm not trying to hurt you, but I'm telling you the Bible said their names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world. Exactly. When God, in the beginning, saw that He'd send His Son, and He'd take a sinner's place, when God's Son's blood was shed, the Bible said His blood was shed before the foundation of the world. How many know the Bible says that? That the blood of Christ was shed before the foundation of the world. When that blood was shed, every member of the body's names was written with that blood on the Lamb's Book of Life at the foundation of the world. What you so scared about? Oh, brother. That unlocks it over, doesn't it? Well, now let's just read this right here and see if what that says right thing. And the angel said unto me, wherefore does I be late first? And the beast which thou sawest, or that's it. The beast which thou sawest is and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now we're coming back to that, but I want to get this other, because we're getting on it. And shall go into perdition, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. There's going to be a bunch on the earth, in other words, that's going to be deceived. For He deceived them. And there was only one group that was not deceived. And that was the one that had their name on the Book of Life since the foundation of the world. We'll get into that a little later. Now, notice the woman, the church, she was mystery babbling. We see her appear by Nimrod. What was Nimrod's purpose? Nimrod founded a city and caused all of the other cities to pay tribute to this city. Could we see such a thing today? Is there such a place today? Is there a church that has domination over every nation in the world? Certainly. Is there a place today that makes every nation pay tribute to it? Is there a place? Let's go ahead and read the rest of this just a little bit so you get the whole picture of it. All right. Which seen the beast which was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind that has wisdom. Now, how many knows that wisdom is one of the gifts of the Spirit? Amen. Now, what kind of a group is he talking to then? He must be talking to a group of people that has the gifts of the Spirit operating in this church. Here is to the mind that has wisdom. Now, you find it all through these church ages here. Pulling out the Holy Spirit, speaking out how those gifts would be working in the last day. Now we've got gifts of healing working. Boy, it's going good. Well, brother, these other gifts, that's just one of them. That's just a little minor thing. Well, here's a far greater gift right here. Which would be the best, the gift of the Holy Ghost of wisdom to put the Word of God together and to show the church where we're standing and just get somebody healed? We all want to be well. But I'd rather have my soul well than my body well anytime. Oh, my. Hear the Holy Spirit speaking through John and Peter says, here's to the wisdom. Let him listen to this. Now, we're getting a picture drawn out here. Here is, and here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There is only one city that I know of in the world. There's two cities that I know of that has seven or more mountains in it. Cincinnati is one of them, which is supposed to be the fiction story of Cincinnati, some other wolf, you know, that so forth. But it has more than that in it. But there's no one church dominates Cincinnati. There's only one place in the whole world Lord said, here's the wisdom, Revelation 13. Let him that has wisdom count the numbers of the beast. For it's the number of a man. Not a bunch of men, a group of men, but a man. And his number is 666. I've often heard that over the throne of the Pope of Rome, it's wrote Vicarius Filiadelia. I often wondered if that was true. Draw a line and draw it up in figures and Roman numerals and see if it is. It's a dash of the truth. I stood that close to the triple crown of the Pope in a glass. Huge six of hell, heaven, and purgatory. See? So those things have just come from there. Just come from Rome and know it's the truth. Now, we know it's pictured out. And here are the seven kings, five are fallen, which was at that time, and one is, that's one to come now, which was Caesar, and another is yet to come, which was Herod, which was wicked. Now watch how perfect it is. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space. Does anybody know how long Herod reigned? 6 months. Pulled his mother through the street with a single tree of a horse and burnt the city and laid it onto the Christians and fiddled on the hillside while it was burning the city. Six months, is, see? And the beast, now watch, look what a rascal that he was. See? Now watch. And the beast that was and is not even is the eighth. And is of the seventh, the nature of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. Anyone knows what perdition means? Hell. And watch where he spit it out of. Hell. What is it? The bottomless pit. There's no foundation for Catholic doctrine. There's no Bible for Catholic doctrine. There's no such a thing as any Bible for any Catholic doctrine. Not at all. They don't claim to be. The priest said, brother, little priest up here at Sacred Heart Church, come over there. And he said, I was telling you about baptizing Mary Elizabeth Frazier. He said, oh, you baptized her according to the way the early Catholic Church baptized. I said, when did that? He said, in the Bible. Your Bible. I said, did the Catholic Church baptize that? Is that the teaching of the Catholic Church? Yeah, I said, and the infallibility of the Catholic Church, why has it changed so much? See? He said, well, see, you all believe the Bible, we believe the Church. See? We don't care what the Bible says, it's what the Church says. That's exactly right. You ever come to a showdown to try it once? See? We don't care what the Bible says, that has nothing to do with it. They care what the Church says. See? But we don't care what the Church says, we believe what God says. For the Bible is written, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. That's why we're not denomination. Now why? Listen to this just a minute. Five kings, which it was, fallen five kings, if you want that from the history, I'll show it to you. And one is the one to come. Now watch, the beast. Now the beast wasn't a king. He was one which is not, and yet he is, and is not. Yet he is, and is not. What is it? Confession of the Pope. A power, a beast, ruling. That's when pagan Rome was converted to make papal Rome. Pagan Rome was converted, and that becomes the papacy, which they had a pope instead of a king, and the pope is the spiritual king. That's the reason he's a crowned spiritual king, claims to be the vicar of Jesus Christ. There you are. Now notice, and we're going to bring that Catholic doctrine out there and show you how it's weighted right down into the Protestant church. How it's just still laying right in the Protestant church. A lot of it. Contrary exactly to the Bible. Absolutely contrary. Now, a beast which was, which is not. Now remember, all of them will be deceived upon the earth whose name is not written from the foundation of the world. That's deep. And the beast that was, and is not, the 11th verse, and yet is the 8th, now the 7th, and goeth into perdition. He'll continue on until he hits the bottomless pits at the end of the road. And the 10 horns which thou saw are 10 kings. Now watch here. If you want to see something striking, watch this. Are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. They're not crowned kings, they're dictators. See, there never was crowned kings, but they received power as kings 1 hour in the reign of the beast. That's just this little shadowing time right now where dictators are rising up. They receive power as king. 1 hour with the beast. Now, all right, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Glory! For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called the chosen and faithful. Wish I could preach a sermon right now on that. The chosen before the foundation of the world and abiding faithful in their calling. Hallelujah. That's it. They are called the chosen and the faithful. And the conjunction. The chosen and faithful. They shall overcome him. No matter how great they get. And this great communism move we got today, don't worry about that. That's working exactly into the hands of God. I can prove to this Bible. He's going to make her suffer for every martyr she ever killed. Yes, sir, he wants these kings all agree together and will hate her. And the whole nation, the whole world sweeping communism. Why, it's got to be a move of God. The punishment. You say, wait a minute, Brother Branham. Communism a move of God? Absolutely. It certainly is a move of God. The Bible says so. But it's moving in to pronounce judgment upon ungodly and disgracefully illegitimate people. What's left in this world? What have we got? Here the other day, I'll stop on the subject just a minute if it's possible. I was reading in a piece of scripture where that an illegitimate child will not enter the congregation of the Lord for 14 generations. How many know that? That's right. Deuteronomy 23. An illegitimate child, if a woman is caught in the field, that's away from the protection of man, and a man overcomes that woman, that man will have to marry her and regardless if she becomes a prostitute, he has to live with her till he dies. And if this woman marries him, pretending that she is a virgin, and she isn't, then she can be killed for it. And if a man and woman which are married, and they bring forth an illegitimate child, that the congregation of the Lord, he will not enter to 14 generations, and 40 years of the generation will be 400 years before that sin ever gets out of Israel. God hates sin! How do you expect to wait on the holy blood of the Lord Jesus just because you belong to a certain denomination, expect to go and you're going to come God's grounds or you're not coming at all? Right. Deacon, preacher, whatever we may be, has nothing to do with it. You come on God's terms. 14 generations. The person is sitting present. Now, who is discussing that with me? Then how do we know who would ever be saved then? I said, that's where you ought to be a good Calvinist. Your name was put in the book before the foundation of the world. God takes that bloodstream. That's up to Him. Yeah. Well, what's that got? Listen, you young people today, I don't know where you come to this church or where you come, you young boys and girls, did you realize the things that you're doing, if there is another generation, your children will be judged for what you do? Haven't you no respect of decency? You girls that's out here wearing these little old shorts and things around, you know that's respecting on your daughter? Did you know your granddaddy was a flapper? And your mammy, of course, girl, and that's the reason you're a striptease today? Certainly, what will your children be? Yes, sir, God said He'd visit the iniquity of the parents upon the children and their children, the 3 to 4 generations. And do you realize, my brother, every time you do that which is right, that'll be visited on your children? Look here, let's take Hebrews the 7th chapter. The Bible said when Melchizedek met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king and blessed him, and said, now, Levi is talking about paying tithes. that Levi had an order from the Lord to receive tithes from his brother. And Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. Well, he was yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. And Abraham was his great-grandfather. Abraham got Isaac, Isaac got Jacob, Jacob got Levi. Levi, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. And while Levi was in the loins of Abraham, the Bible said he paid tithes to Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody tell you that any kind of a move in the world can ever interfere with God's great call. He's moving right on. And back in the beginning, the devils are enough devils to interfere with this program. Now, the Bible didn't say potentially he paid it. The Bible said he paid tithes. When he was in his great-grandfather's loins. Glory! That's the Lord! Oh, he knows it even before the world was ever formed. He knows everything. And in Abraham, he paid tithes. And sister, brother, how can you run out here and people living, running around with man's wives and wives breaking up homes and living the way you do? What do you expect another generation to be? Here's what it is. It's become now nothing but just a bunch of illegitimate, messed up, born bunch of corruption. And there's one thing left for it. And that's the atomic day that we're living in. It's exactly right. We're at the end time. Sitting this morning, way back in the hills of Kentucky, a little old boy, he couldn't hardly get 10 foot of his mixed sword and molasses. Probably didn't know hardly which is right hand or left. When he heard, I got over on a posted ground. I didn't know where it was. That is just in some of the hollers. And I said, well, I better go squirrel hunting. When I sat down up there, I got talking to him, and this boy said he's going in the army, and come to find out, we got to talking about the Lord, and he said, preacher, don't you believe that we're at the end time?
Amen.
Way back up there in that mountain. I said, sure we are. Sure, son. We're at the end time. Here we are. This is the hour that we're living, brother. We're in a place, can't you see how that mothers back there and daddies, how they lived in grandpa and grandma? Can't you see how papa and mama has lived? No wonder we're in a corruption today. No wonder you can preach your head off. They'll wear shorts just the same as spit in your face. They'll smoke cigarettes and blow it at you and say, tend to your own business. Why? Because that's the tribe they come out of. I'm going to get to that directly, the seed of the serpent. We find out where she moves in. Think of why they act like that. They're the devil's children since the foundation of the world. It's right. And we're nothing in left for it. You just judgment's the only thing is left. Can't have nothing else but judgment. God will just whack the whole thing out and man has done it themselves. God didn't intend it to be that way, but he knew it would be that way. That's the reason he said he would deceive all that lived upon the face of the earth, except those whose names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Let's watch and read a little further now. Now we were on the 12, and the 10 horns, which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These shall have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Watch that now, these 10 horns, these 10 kingdoms, see? That's everything falling in. What these dictators are, watch the way dictators lean to. Where's it leaning to? Just look, tell me a dictator doesn't lean towards communism. See? And they shall what? Hate the whore, the woman, the church. What? Watch what's going to do it. These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. They'll blow that thing off the map that the church is. I'm standing here. We just had time to take up that subject there at that church. We're right on down through the scriptures where it said, read all the kings of the earth and all the shipmasters and all wail for great famine, met her desolation in an hour. 1 hour, her time had come. And all I said, rejoice, you saints, and all you holy prophets, for God has revenge ever. The blood of the saints and your brethren upon her. See, that's right. Sure, communism played right into the hands of God, just like King Nebuchadnezzar played right in the hands to come take them Jews when they walked away in Egypt. And sin can keep corrupting. Righteous seed can remain in there. And seed can keep corruption and corrupting till after a while it runs out. It gets to a place because our mothers and daddies and so forth has lived so before us, and that way there's nothing left for us. And you know what Jesus said? If he didn't cut the word short, there'd be not even any flesh saved. Can you see? Can you see why we got these? I'm not making remarks. Arthur Godfrey's and everybody else, and Elvis Presley's and hips down the overhauls and hair hanging down their necks and all these ways that teenagers are acting. What is it? What is it? Because it's crying out of a bunch of four-legged illegitimate people. Nothing left. Oh, they'll set up the same dear my God to thee like D. Picker and all those others like that, sing some kind of a hymn and so forth like that. Brother, you know what? That's absolutely hypocrisy. Yes, sir. Man has got no business in his pulpit that gets out there and rock and roll and boogie woogie and all that kind of stuff. Got one speck of innocence behind you. This is to the priesthood, the call of God. God's call ministers belong behind here. And don't belong back here for such as that. That's what's the matter with it today. They've made the church no more than some lodge. Lodge is all right. If you want to do that, that's up to you. But let me tell you, there's a lot of difference between a lodge and a church. Yes, sir. You want to do those things in a lodge and have all them kind of parties and so forth, that's up to you. But, brother, the church ought to be swept from the pulpit all the way to the basement. Right! I don't mean swept with the new windows and so forth. I mean with an old-fashioned, God-sent revival that will carry the thing from one side to the other. Yes, sir. Like turning a light, electric light on a bunch of roaches around a cob of an apple. Yes, sir. They'll scatter when light flies. What? They have one mind to give their power. I'm below that now. The ten horns, yes, now. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will. There you go. And to agree and give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigns over all the kings of the earth. Now, there's not no need of pushing around. We know that is the Catholic hierarchy. There's no need. There's anybody. I believe that just as firm as I believe that I have received the Holy Spirit. I believe that just as good as I believe that I'm a Christian standing here today, that Catholic hierarchy is the Vatican City is the city that sits on the seven hills. The hierarchy of the church is the beast which was, which is not. She's babbling. It's everything pictured just exactly, just perfectly always in the Scripture. Catholic Church. Now here's your shocking point. You say, well, you didn't hit me, Brother Branham, but let me just ask you something. Let's go right back now to the fifth verse. And if on her head was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of abominations, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What was she? W-H-O-R-E. And she was a M-O-T-H-E-R. What? M-O-T-H-E-R. She had begotten something. A mother of sons. Of harlots. What is a harlot? Same thing as the whore. Immoral woman. What made her immoral? Her doctrine. She was pretending to be a Christian church, but was giving out man-made dogma. And here she says that she had, if she was the first organization, Then it seems like there's some organizations come out of her. She was the mother of harlots. Is that right? A mother of harlots. Couldn't be a mother not of boys. Couldn't be a mother of... It had to be mother of women. And if they were women, they were churches. Now let's find out. What come out of the... what was the first organization? Catholic Church. What was the second organization? Luther. What was the third organization? Zwingli. What did come on down to Calvin and then come into England and England on down into Methodist? The Methodist. What did the Methodist produce? Out of Alexander Campbell. Out of Alexander Campbell comes John Smith. Out of Alexander Campbell's a Christian church. Then it had four or five Church of Christ where all those other little isms run out. Then here comes the Baptist church. It had a lot of little pullouts. Out of the Methodist church come, out of the Methodist church come first. Come to the Wesleyan Methodist, and then they broke off four or five times, then they come to another type of Methodist, and then they come off again, then they come to the Free Methodist, and then they come from that to the Nazarene, and from the Nazarene to the Pilgrim Holiness on down, just little isms running out like that, keep running on down, each one of them little starters back there, come right on down, and why did everyone of them do this? Finally wound up in Pentecost. And what did Pentecost do? The same thing their mammy did. They went right back and organized. And what did they become? A denomination. Walk into one. The first thing, what's your doctrine? Boy, they comb you with a fine-tooth comb. See? To find out what you are, what you believe in. You don't just tell it out to them, brother, you're excommunicated right now. That's right. And don't think it's because you say you're Pentecostal that you're secured. Brother, there'd be just as many Pentecosts off the road as there is on the road, I'm sure. See? Now, all those organizations, if they just let the Pentecostal blessing go, not organize it, just keep it in a brotherhood, and let the Holy Spirit do the segregation. The Holy Spirit segregates. Ananias, Sapphira come in one time and said, so-and-so, and the Holy Spirit said, why did you lie? But we say, now that's Brother Jones. Don't you say nothing bad about him. Now he's the best bear we got in church. How do we got the Holy Ghost turning, speaking down without seeing shots of spirit that don't have no more important peas on a dry cowhide? See? Not a thing to do with it. God's got to say, he's got to say whether he is or is not. Absolutely. But we talk over our denomination. Well, we kick him out of the assemblies, the oneness picks him up. The oneness carries him around, and they kick him out. Because they carry more lead than Jesus only picks him up. Jesus only packs him around, and then the next thing picks him up is Church of God picks him up. Church of God of Prophecy picks him up, and Tomlinson move gets him. Oh my. Brother, if we had not run out. That's in Pentecost, the last revival. And now they got the blue flame, and they got the oil worshippers, and the blood in the face, and oh, mercy, I don't know where they've gone through now. Just one thing, that's the whole thing has become corrupted. Did you know the Bible said it would come corrupted? Did you know the Bible speaks that this day will be here when even the tables of the Lord will be full of vomit? And said, who can I teach doctrine? Who can I make understanding? For precept must be upon precept, upon precept, upon line upon line. Who can he teach doctrine? Those that are weaned from the breast, the mammy. Now there isn't a woman, honorary woman in this town, but what could bring forth a virgin daughter? She is when she's born. Now, and she can go good. But if you don't notice that her mother has been of that nature, that girl, 9 times out of 10, will act just exactly like her mother does. Now, you know that's right. An old woman that runs a house of ill fame could bring forth a little girl, she could be 16 years old, just as clean and moral as any lily. But if she remains that way, but the thing of it is, she goes right back and acts like her mother. Now, the Catholic Church is the first old prostitute that's come up with doctrines that she made up of herself, superstitions, but the Bible said she come out of the bottomless pit and will go back to perdition. The Bible says that. Now, if they teach that, it's wrong. It's wrong according to God's Word. And then here comes the Methodist Church, which is born out of her. A beautiful young lady. But what did she do? She turned right back around and do the same things that her mommy does. Let your congregation wear shorts. Let them smoke cigarettes. Let them carry on and act just like they should. They never said about the little fake pastor back behind there. The pulpit back there is free. You'll run out of salary someday or a pan of biscuits. Let me tell you, brother, I'd rather preach the gospel and eat soda crackers and drink brace water and tell the truth about it if ever one of my congregation brothers walked out of my telling the truth. Yes, indeed. What's the matter? Oh, it's a meal ticket. Well, you know, I'm the pastor of the biggest church there is in the city. You Baptist and Methodist listen to a false prophet. Now, that's rough. But anything that teaches contrary to this Bible is a false prophet. I don't care how polished it may be. It's false prophecy. It's like, oh, everything's all right as long as you've got your name on the book. You might have your name on a dozen books. If it ain't on the book of life, you're lost. You can be ever so good. You can be just as loyal and clean and moral as you can be. That won't have one thing to do with it. Esau was twice the guy that Jacob was when it comes to being a man. Take care of his old blind daddy and everything else. And Jacob was a little shyster, hung around his mother's apron. Little old sissy boy. God said, I love Jacob and refused Esau before either boy was born. Romans 8 says so. That's exactly right. God knows what's in man. He knows what's in the church, too. We live by the bread of life, the bread of the Word of God. Now, that's why we're not a denomination. Now, I want to give you another little, illustration I had wrote out here, the great. Now, in Revelation 19:2, I got something marked out here. I want to look and see what it is now. For true and righteous are thy judgment, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. That's the ending of the Catholic Church. Now, we also want you to notice also here that a denomination is also found out in the Scriptures here that the Bible never speaks of a denomination. The denomination come from the Catholic Church. She is the first mother of denomination. And each denomination has come right down. Now, this is going to be just a little pinch. It's going to get a little pinchier all the time, see? But I want you to see that denominations wasn't born or ordained of God. It was ordained of the devil. God's church is a... We are not divided. All one body we. One hope and doctrine. One charity. That's the church of the living God. Regardless of what they... Them things we're one together. That's right. Whether he's Methodist or Baptist, brother, he's born again, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, he's my brother, we're walking shoulder to shoulder. Right. That's true. Make a difference. Moses, sometimes I look around and say, you know that bunch of fanatic Pentecostals? Brother Bram, why'd you ever go out of a bunch like that for? You know what? Moses looked upon the children of Israel. He looked out the same window that Pharaoh looked out of. Pharaoh looked at him as a bunch of mud daubers. But Moses looked at Muhammad as a chosen of God. He knew they had the promise. Why? He didn't know it by the word. And by faith, with his foot on the throne to be Pharaoh, all the world that he had his feet, sat there and poured wine in his mouth and beautiful women to fan him. As the emperor of the dictator or king of the world, young Moses at 40 years old, had in his hand. He looked out upon that bunch of mud daubers, but he knew he was one of them. Hallelujah! That's it. He knew he was one of them, and by faith alone he chose. Everybody's got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice. You're going to make a choice now. You're going to make a choice in the morning. You're going to make a choosing tomorrow night if you live. You've got to choose sometime. Brother, a long time ago I chose this Bible as my dictionary. This Bible was my on the children of Israel. And not only did he say, oh, they're wonderful people. I have nothing against them. Oh, no, I would speak one word against them. That's the way a lot of people do today. Oh, those Pentecostals and those people who've got the Holy Ghost and those people who believe in divine healing. Oh, I got nothing against it. But that wasn't Moses. He forsook Egypt and became one of them. He went out among his brothers. He was one of them. Brother, that's where I'll take my way. I'll take the way with the Lord's dispatch you. It's a handful of whatever it is. They got a promise, and I see their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're my brethren. That's right. Take your choice and stand with them. Right or wrong, stand there anyhow. If they're wrong, help them to the right. Right. You never make them any better, but kick them around. See? Try to pull them out. Charles actually said about Brother Allen, about the fire, the blood in the hands, I said, never, never did I disregard A.L. I said, if I could preach like A.L., I'd never even have a healing service. Now, when it comes to disagreeing upon blood as being the evidence of the Holy Ghost in your hands, I'll disagree with that. But when it comes to brotherhood, he's my brother. I stand shoulder to shoulder with him in the battle. That's right. If he's wrong, I'll try to help him. And if he's not wrong, if I'm wrong, I want him to help me. And that's the way we would get along. Now, watch here. She was Mistreat Babylon, the mother of harlots. Now, do you see how the church today, friends, can you see how these churches today just live any way they want to live? Perfectly all right. Go right ahead, hog eat hog. They don't teach us why there's no harm in doing that. Well, you're just trying to be old-fashioned. Now, watch their doctrine. Now, watch. That's their habit. Do you see that a few years ago that the Catholic Church was the only one who was permitted to go to a picture show? The Methodist Church wouldn't think of such a thing. All them denominations, no, that's the works of the devil. Well, I wonder what happened. Yes, sir. And you know, you take them young Catholic girls, they come out with these little, now some of you old boys as old as I am, come out and notice this little thing where they had the knee high. That guy, I guess, is in hell tonight. I don't know. I'm not his judge. But when he played that first little dirty song that slipped out on the radio without being censored, that roll 'em girlies, roll 'em down and show your pretty knees. How many remembers that when I first came out years ago? That was the first slip up right there. Right. When they got this thought from Texas and take them women out there and use them underneath clothes to make them look like they were something that they wasn't. And such things as that, and let them get by with it. And now what did it do? It went to creeping in to spirit. A man was talking the other day. He said, I don't know what to do. I had a good honest boy. That boy's getting to it, takes what he put his hands on. I said, why? He's associating with a thief. You hang around with somebody that's a thief, you'll be a thief yourself. My old Kentucky mammy, you say if you lay down with a dog who's got fleas, you'll get up with fleas too. You take a woman that's no good, and a girl, and put her with a good, decent boy, and the first thing you'll eat is honor as a pup. Turn it right by the diversity. You're no by your company. Segregate yourself. Come out from among them, said the Bible. Be separated. That's right. If their denominations go back to such corruption as letting their people, well, here they're in a big, fine Baptist church. They had to they only get preached 20 minutes. The man couldn't cause the pastor had to smoke. The congregation all went outside. All of a sudden, they're smoking, changed, and come back again. Pastor and all of them. I went to a congregation church. There, a man sat a big, long robe on the side there, said, leaning on the pulpit like just talking about some kind of flower he found up on the hill. That's about all there was to it. And went back out, and his fingers was yellow with cigarette smoke. Yes. And talking about that the women, as a man was going to play, what's this German game they play with that, so much you deal out cards, you know, it had a, oh, I thought I'd remember, pinochle. They're going to have a pinochle game, I think. It's where you deal, it's regular playing cards. A pinochle game in the basement. My goodness, that's where its foundation is. No wonder why they do that. They holler about the cash. There's out here in these rotary places and playing lottery. Well, you or nothing until you're born again.
That's right. When you do that, you know there's something within you
tells you those things are wrong. And you'll come out of it as assured
you're knee-high to a duck. You know that's the truth.
Surely. That's
why the mother of harlots. It's one of these days old mothers will say, you know what? After all, honey, we're both the same. And you know what it is then? The Confederation of Churches are going to all unite together as they are now. And you know what's going to happen to a little group like this? You're going to pay for it, boys. That's exactly right. But don't worry. The Lamb shall overcome him.
For he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And God
go to leading his church instead of a denomination. You'll pour out that golden oil of the Holy Ghost upon that church. Brother, fire up all the wonders will take place like you've never seen before. Yes, sir.
Hear not those talking your father's good will to give you the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
He that endures to the end.
There you go.
Keep right down the road. Keep your head towards Calvary. This Bible's right. Don't worry. Now watch, there's some of the habits they have. Some of the morals that they have. We can just go on. First thing they'll leak into the Protestant churches. Then the Catholic women begin to, well, what no harm to put on little shorts? As long as you went to church and put a little drink before their head. Some kind of tradition, don't eat any meat on Friday. And, oh, where you ever find putting a handkerchief on your head to enter church? I want you to show the scripture. It's false prophecy. Where is it in the church you're supposed to wear a hat in the church? When you wear a hat on your head, you dishonor Christ.
Right? Man, I'm speaking up. Women, you do have a covering. But I'll challenge anybody to show me where it's a hat or a handkerchief.
It's your hair. And you cut it all off.
Now, what about that?
Oh, they say that's old fashioned. If it is, it's a Bible. God's word's right. Preaching here not long ago with a woman that washed Jesus' feet and took her hair on and wiped it with it. I said the only way a woman could do that is stand on her head and get enough hair down there to wash his feet. Right.
Oh, it's the disgrace. See the way to hear freezing weather walking around with a little chubby coat on like that and their naked body showing.
You want to say, why are you picking on women? You need to be picked on. And you, man, to let your women do that, brother, I don't know what to think about you.
Now, that's right.
And you pastors, I don't guess you're here, but if you see the guy, you try to come tell him and see me, see? If he's got no more respect for Christ than to let his congregation get by with that they might do it out there behind him, but if you don't tell him about it, he's not a fit servant for Jesus Christ.
Exactly right. He is not fit to be a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ should be fearless
if cause it comes to the Bible.
Certainly. But there they are. They go out and they do it anyhow. And then the first thing the Protestants had to pick it up.
You good Methodists, and you Baptists, and you Presbyterians, and all Nazarene pilgrim holiness and all of you.
Same thing. Got right out six of one, half a dozen of the other.
There you are.
Mother of harlots.
Your denomination, as long as they started at headquarters, what difference did it make? See? Makes a whole lot of difference. It never started that headquarters. It might start your headquarters down here, but not that one up there. Depends on where you're from.
That's true.
Now, I don't think we have time to get this other one. Maybe we better leave it for in the morning. All right. Let's just take it a little sharp. We got your baptism in water. We also got the predestination and all many things. So let's just take this this little sharpening of women preachers and get this one. Now, our lady preacher, I don't want to hurt your feeling, but I want to tell you something. You haven't got one speck of scripture. Not one in the Bible. Yeah, I know where you're going to and have done that all year yet, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, if your pastor don't know what the name prophesy means, he got very much business behind the pulpit trying to tell you to be a preacher, see? Because it absolutely is condemned from Genesis to Revelation. Now, let me show you this. Now, I want you to turn me to 1 Timothy 2:11. It's terrible here, let me find out this. And we'll get that, your Acts 2. And Just listen here what the Scripture has to say about this subject. Now, somebody kept saying, Brother Branham, you're no woman hater. I'm not no woman hater. I just don't like to see women trying to take a place that they don't belong in. You remember Howard Shipyard over here, one of the most successful shipyards there is on the Ohio River? They put a woman over. Look what happened. They gave the woman a right to vote. Look what happened. Let me tell you right now, not the skin women. I want men to understand you're in on this too. But let me tell you something, brother. This nation is a woman's nation. I'll prove that by you, by the Scripture, by anything that you want to prove. By this is, what appears on our money? A woman. Where's she found out in Revelation here? You see her. She's number 13 also. Everything she started, 13 stars, 13 sides, 13 colonies, 13, everything was 13. To be honest, she appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation. A woman, 13. And in 1933, when we was having meetings over here where that Church of Christ is standing now, the old Masonic home, the vision of the Lord came to me up here and predicted that Germany would rise up and put that Magnot line there. Many of you remember. And how did the all 45 there and the Americans would take a great beating right there at that line? It also said what would take place and about Roosevelt and them things, how he would run and make that fourth turn perfectly, just exactly the way it come to that. And also said that cars would keep getting more like an A until the last days they'd be just in the shape of an A. Now I said it'll come to pass that those cars will not be run by a steering wheel. It'll be something other to run. It's them cars you're bringing out right now, remote control for safety. Correct. You won't be able to enter into a city, then you 20 miles zone, you can just go 20 miles. You can't hit another car because it's remote control. See? It's going like that it right now. Now I said, remember, in that day, before the end time comes, that a woman, now you all keep this wrote down, there will be a great powerful woman raised up either to be president or dictator or some great powerful woman in this United States. And she'll sink under the influence of women. Now you remember that. Thus saith the Lord. See? And she's wrong. And what is it given away to? Let me tell you. Be spiritual. Open up. Look. Why is it doing that? To give the Catholic Church a place to come in. See? You worship these movie stars and all these other different things out here. Remember the sermon I preached, Margie, you remember, years ago on the invasion of the United States to overthrow the American government. And how did I say he raised up in Paris after we saved him over there from that women whining big time? He lived right down in Hollywood. Now instead of us standing to Paris to get models, they stand here to get models. What did he do? We wouldn't let your children go to the picture show, but he got right into the television, moved right on out, and contaminated the whole thing. Run right on out. And here we are today, all the little girls and boys, all like some kind of these television actors. What is it? It's making a way. Boy, one ill-famed woman can send more people to hell than all the bootleg joints you can put in the city. Right. Watch her go down the street with her clothes all stripped down. Don't care who the man is. If he's a healthy, normal man, when he looks at the woman, he's bound to have something to pass over him. I just be honest. I don't care. I've had the Holy Ghost for years. You can't look at a woman in her half-dress. I carry a little cross in my car. Many of you seen it. Somebody said to me, are you a Catholic? Where did the Catholics ever get an option on the cross? The cross means Christian. Them little old St. Cecilia's and things is a mark of Catholicism. We don't believe in such stuff as that. We believe in Christ. They have all kinds of dead people they worship. It's a high form of spiritualism. That's all it is, worshiping the dead. No such a thing. No. I asked that priest, I said, why did then, if Peter was the first pope, he said, that's right. I said, then why did Peter say, there's no other mediator between God and man but that man Christ Jesus. And you've got 5,000 dead women and everything else you're making mediators. Now what's happened? There you are. They got an answer for that. That's right. Now, some of their doctrine, their false doctrine, a bunch of false Protestant prophets has come around and teaching that, and you Protestant people are swallowing it. Exactly right. Denominations and forms of baptisms and different orders and things that you're going through, which is absolutely not scriptural. It's against it in the Scripture, yet you're not right down to it. It's the truth. Now, listen to this about the women preachers. All right, 1 Timothy. I want the 1 Timothy 2:11. Now, listen to what it says here. Let your women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
I'm not responsible for putting it in there. I'm responsible for telling you it's in there. See? Let your women learn in silence and be in all subjection. If you're going into an Orthodox church in Washington, see? But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority, be a pastor, deacon, or anything like that, over the man. See? Usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. Did you know? Now listen, women. You good, righteous Christian women are the best thing that God could give a man, or he'd give you something different. Yes, sir? See? A woman was not even in the original creation. The woman is not a created product of God. She's a byproduct of a man. God made the man, both man and woman. And he separated them. And if the man had already lived on the earth and named the beast and lived here a long time, he took a rib out of Adam's side as a byproduct and made a woman to it. Adam was first formed and then Eve. Now watch. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. God took the man, the devil took the woman. Look at it right straight in the face. What's doing it today? Look at the real church of God and say, Jesus! The Antichrist will say, Mary! Watch them spirits. There they are. Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women, and pray for us sinners now and day of our death. Amen. Very faithful. Oh, my goodness. See? There you go. Woman. The devil's subject. Christ! The object of worship and the only one. There you are. There you are. Adam was first formed and then Eve. Adam was not deceived. And how could you have a woman pastor? Deacon, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. She didn't think she was wrong, but she was. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. Because every time that a funeral goes down the street, a woman caused it. Every time a baby screamed out, a woman caused it. Every time someone died, a woman caused it. Every gray hair, a woman caused it. Everything in death, a woman caused it. Everything that's wrong, a woman caused it. And then put her head of the church. Pastor, old bishop sometimes. Same on. Now, let me turn you to this another just in a minute. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:32 there. See what Paul says over here. And then we're going right over to some of the Lord just in a minute. And then we don't want to keep you too long so you'd be so tired in the morning you can't come back. All right? I want to read. How many believe that Paul was an inspired teacher? Now remember, Paul wrote this to Timothy also. See? Now, 1 Corinthians 14:32. Now, let's start right in here and start reading. 14:34, I'll be. Let your women keep silent in the churches. Did you hear what he said? Let your women keep silent in churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. Have you got a margin reading on that? If you are running Thanksgiving, don't take Genesis 3:16. When God told Eve, because that she had listened to the serpent instead of her husband, that he had ruled over her all the days of her life. How can the woman come and rule over a man, be pastor or deacon, when the Bible said, let her be obedient, just like it was in the beginning when he got? God can't change. You can't make the word say one thing here, another thing over here. Don't do it. It's the same thing all the time. So in the beginning, that's where before this is over, if we get a chance, I want to straighten out that marriage and divorce case for you. I've never done it in this church yet. Watch the double covenant. One says she can't marry, another said he can't marry, and this one said this, that, the other. Just wait a minute and see what the Bible says when we get to that. All right. Now watch here. Let your women keep silent in the churches. It's not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Then in the Old Testament, they wasn't allowed to speak. Because Paul said here they wasn't. Is that right? Let your women keep silent.
It's obedience. Now, if you will run your margarine, it'll take you back to Genesis 3:16. All right? Under, as under the law. And if they learn anything, let their heads us for husbands home, for it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Now, look at that question mark on each one of your Bibles on that what. What caused Paul to say that in the heck of that kind? Now, if you'll ever get the letters that the Corinthians wrote to Paul, now you can get them in any good library, see, that the Corinthians wrote to Paul, they wrote and told him, after these women who was converted, they had a goddess over there, it was called Diana, and she was at Ephesus also, and the Corinthians worshiped the same cause as the heathen worship, and they found a rock out in the field one day, it looked like a shape of a woman, they said, God is a woman, and she dropped her image down to us, and their temple was far beyond the Solomon temple, they said, the historians. Oh, it was all marble inlaid with gold, where Solomon's temple was made of cedar inlaid with gold. See? And it was far beyond it. And that, then, if God was a woman, well, sure, she'd have women priests. Sure, if God is a woman, then the woman preacher's right. But if God is a man, the Bible said he was a man, and he is a man. See? And if God was a man, then it should be man. Now, notice here. What? Now, some of them women priests, when they was converted from paganism into Christianity, they thought they could maintain their office as a preacher. Just come right on over. If they preached over there about Diane, they come over here and preach about Christ. He said, what? Came the word of God out? Just listen to this. How can ministers do that? 36 verse. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, don't even have to be a prophet, just a spiritual thinking man, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You believe that? But if any be ignorant, just let him be ignorant. Now that's just as flat as I know to put it. He said, if a man is a spiritual man or a prophet, he'll acknowledge that what I write here is the commandments of the Lord. But said, if he's going to be ignorant, just let him be ignorant. See? The only thing you can do is they want to go on to it, you just have to let them go. Because he sees it starting there. And some woman told me, said, Paul was just an old woman hater. He was no woman hater. You know, Paul was the apostle and to the Gentile church. Look here, did you know Paul, how many of these, that's what Paul preached? Is that what he said here? And Paul said, you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Branham, just a minute. Now, our bishop says that's all right. The general overseer of the assembly says it's all right. The one that's bishop says it's all right. I don't care what they say. It's false. And I told you he was going to stick this hard. And false prophets that say so. For the Bible said, if any man thinks himself to be a spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge what I say is the commandments of the Lord. And if his spirit don't bear record with that word, he's a false prophet to begin with. I'd rather be a woman hater than a woman lover to go with such stuff as that, to put up with such stuff as that in the church of God, contrary to the ordinances of God. And Paul said, get Galatians 1:8. Paul said, if an angel from heaven would preach any other gospel than that what I preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Now, what are you going to do about that? Now, you say, what about, where it said your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and Joel, and where Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, that's exactly right. Did you know in the Old Testament that the only way now that anybody can come into the covenant through by Abraham was the one that was given the promise, and the seal of the promise was by circumcision. How many know that? That was God confirming. Like a Baptist brother. You said, Brother Branham, while we Baptists have received the Holy Ghost, I said, when did you get it? Said, the hour we believed. I said, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I said, now you Baptists come get some of that and we'll talk some eternal security with you. I said, but well, where do you get it like that, see? He said, have you received it since you have believed? They were believers to have a shouting and joy and everything else. They hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Paul said they hadn't. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we don't know where there'd be any Holy Ghost. Said, then how was you baptized? They said, we've been baptized, but falsely. So he had to be baptized over again. All right. Now, notice this now. That these women preachers, when they come in, they go to take their authority, but it's absolutely not permitted by God to do so. And just while we're right on this subject here, this women's seat, and I said, if there be any man among you who's spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that what I write is the commandments of the Lord. But if he's ignorant, just let him be ignorant. And that's why this tabernacle does not stand and ordain women preachers, women deacons, or anything for a woman to do. That's the office of this church. Just because this scripture lays here and it's naked. Now, the Bible did say, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, what does the word prophesy mean? Look it up. It's to tell something under inspiration or foretell something. It's a compound word. It's like sanctify. It means to be cleaned and set aside for service. See? Or something. It's a compound word meaning more than one thing. Like we got so much of it in English here. Like we say the word board. Well, what would board mean? You say, well, he means he paid his board. No, he never even made a board a whole. No, he never even made a board. See? Just the word, you have to know what you're talking about. See? And that's what it is. This compound word where your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, the only way that God, this Baptist said, well, we have received the Holy Ghost. I said, then, when we believed it. I said, now see, he said, God give Abraham said Abraham believed God. That's the way he put it. He said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. How many know that's the truth? Now watch how easy Satan can slip that on a brother. See? Just as easy. Now that's scripture. Brother, I'm telling you, up here you should be anointed before you enter this. You should enter into a secret place and pray. People say, why don't you go out and see the people? Brother, if you're going to talk to the people or teach them, you better stay to yourself with God for a while before you enter that pulpit. Certainly. See? Because Satan is shrewd. Very shrewd. He said, now, notice. He said, Abraham believed God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's right. He said, now what more can Abraham do but believe? I said, that's all he could do. He said, how much more can you do or anybody else do but believe? I said, that's all we can do. But look, brother. Then God reconciled or recognized Abraham's faith. He gave him the seal, a sign of circumcision, as a seal of the covenant. See? He gave him, he said, now Abraham, I recognize your faith, so I'm going to give you a sign now that I have received you. So he circumcised Abraham. And that was the seal of the covenant. And now in this day, now a woman could not be in that covenant. Only a married woman. Why not? Couldn't circumcise a female. So they had to come in. So her and her husband are one. They're not more two, they're one. How many know that? Scripture says so. So her being married, then she become one. And going down here, looking over here, Timothy says the same thing. So notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if she continues in faith and holiness with all sobriety. Now, but then the circumcision of the Old Testament was in the flesh, but in this New Testament, Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, the word prophesy does not mean to teach. The prophesy means to either tell an experience or inspiration or foretell something is fixing to take place. And we know that there was prophetess in the Old Testament. They never could speak out in the buildings, speak out in the churches and the congregation as a teacher. But she, Anna, and many of them in the temple, they were prophetess, and they were, Miriam was a prophetess or something like that. She had the spirit on her, that's true. But she had her limitations to play. Women can be prophetess today, absolutely. But not teachers and so forth behind the platform here. You do, you make the Bible contradict itself. The Bible can't say one thing here, another thing over here. It's got to say the same thing all the time, or it isn't the Word of God. See? So your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Means that they shall either foretell or testify. Now you look that up and you get the Bible dictionary and see if that isn't right. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, the Bible also speaks of a woman who pretended herself, or claimed, this is worked both with the Catholic Church and a word forward also with this subject we're going to speak of. Now, let's turn over to the book of Revelations, and let's get about the second chapter in the 21st, just while we're right here close to it, that you might notice here, and just see how the devilish that thing can be. But speaking in this last days, what will take place, how these, what this woman would be. Remember, the Catholic Church is a woman. We just read it, haven't we? Listen to this now. That's Revelations 2 and 20. Now we're standing, he's speaking to this pirate church, see. Now we're standing, which is a middle-aged church there, through the Dark Ages. Now we're standing, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and subdue my servants, and commit fornications, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, if you ever notice, watch these church ages, and we'll close. Now in the morning we're going to pick up these other things. Watch this. Under the golden candlesticks of the Jewish tabernacle in the inside of the showbread and so forth, there were seven golden candlesticks. All of you know that. See? The seven church ages. That speaks of seven church ages alike. Now if you notice, in Revelations 1 we find Jesus standing in the seven church ages, the seven golden candlesticks. When he turned, saw one like the Son of Man, standing clothed with a... It was a bride standing in the candlesticks, drawn out. Now, in the Old Testament, they would take this one candle and light it, take the other candle and light off that one, one off the other, like that, because they made the entire seven candlesticks. If you notice at the beginning, when God began to deal with the Jews, and they went through the Golden Age, and then the darkest age of the Jewish dealings God had with Jews was in the reign of Ahab. And if you'll notice, reading those church ages there, he gets right back to it again. He said, now, a few things go, and said, now, right in that dark age, 1,500 years there, or at the time of Ahab first and the Jews, the darkest age they had, when Ahab married Jezebel and brought idolatry into Israel and made all the people worship after Ahab, after Jezebel's God. You remember they put up the groves and tucked down the altars of God, and Elisha cried out, he was the only one, and God had 700 who never bowed their knee to Baal yet. You remember that? That's the type of that elect church coming out. See there? See how it is? Now, in this church, if you'll notice, the first church, the church of Ephesus, was a great church. He says, you got light yet. And if you notice, each church, it begins to dim out. Dim out. Dim out. Until he got to Tyre. Then the 1,500 years, then he come out on the other side, and you've got just a little life, strengthen that which you have got, lest your candlestick be removed. And it come on down then to the Philadelphia church age, and then into the Laodicean church age. Now, here's the beauty. Oh, my, I just love this, Brother Smith. See, look at this. Now, in this church age, as we went through, now watch this. The first church age was the Ephesus, the Ephesian church age. Now, each one of those church ages, till he got to this 1,500 years, if you notice, read it now. When you go home tonight, if you have time, or early in the morning before you come to church, on the first, second, and third chapter of Revelation, you'll find out each one of those church ages, he said, you have a little strength, and you haven't denied my name. Until he got to this 1,500 years of Tyre, the dark age, then he come out on the other side and said, you have a name that you live, but you are dead. And none of these other church ages, that or the Philadelphia church age, never did pick up that name again. Never got that name, because it went out during this time. Now, oh, how we can lay that on to them false teachings now. Right in there, show it's the mother, the Catholic Church, the mother of all of it. Now she's mother of Mystery Babylon. And that's, look, this church age here, when she come out, she had a little light. Then she went getting dimmer, dimmer. Then she come into an organization back here, this 1,500 years. And she come out now, not as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but as the Catholic Church. What did Luther come out? As the Lutheran Church. What did the Baptist come out? As the Baptist Church. Not his name. Another name. You have a name. For there's not another name given under heaven. Whereby you may be saved only in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have a name. That you're living, but you're dead. That's what that denomination. Oh, I'm a Presbyterian, and you're dead. Oh, I'm a Baptist, and dead. You're only alive.
false baptism, sprinkling, pour instead of immersing, using Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those false things coming right down the Bible, speaking right forward and into it just as hard as it can. Here we tolerate along with them. My church leads it this way. But the Bible says this. No such things. There's no such thing. I don't think the Bible did they ever speak out their tongue and take the Holy Eucharist and the priest drank the wine and call it the Holy Ghost. Never in the Bible did they ever shake hands and give the right hand of fellowship and call it the Holy Ghost. Never did anybody raise up and say, now I'm a believer and receive the Holy Ghost. If it did, here he was at Acts 2 and every, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, down the road come a Roman priest, and he had his collar turned around. He walks up and said, all this, stick out your tongue now and take the Holy Eucharist, First Communion. Wouldn't that be some way to read Acts 2? Well, you Protestants are bad. Come back right there. Now we walk up to you Methodists, put them on the right hand, give them the right hand of fellowship, and 6 months on probation. Where do you read that in Acts 2? Where are you getting that? They had said when they were all in one place and one accord. There never come up no bishop and done this, and there never come up no priest and done this, but there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were staying.
There's the way they received it.
Yes, sir. As a rushing mighty wind coming from glory, not up the road or from some denomination. You have a name that you're living, but you're dead. Your creeds and denominations has barred God away like that, so that we believe this and we believe the days of America is past. It's a false prophet that says that. It's a false prophet that tells you that you shake hands and receive the Holy Ghost. It's a false prophet that tells you you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. It's a false prophet that tells you you should be poured and sprinkled instead of baptized. It's a false prophet that tells you you should be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when there's no scripture for it in the Bible. Right. Not a scripture or Bible tells you to be baptized where anybody was ever baptized only in the name of Jesus Christ, only John's disciples, and they had to come be rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to get the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, that's not Jesus' only doctrine. I know Jesus' only doctrine. That's not it. That's just Bible doctrine. That's right. But there you are. What do you do with it? There's your mammy. There's the mammy of those priests. Now, you look right back in the Bible and tell me where anybody was ever sprinkled. Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. Tell me where one person's ever sprinkled in the Bible. Tell me where one has ever poured in the Bible for remission of sin. Mention it. Can you find it? If you do come to me and I'll walk down the street with a sign on my back and say, a false prophet, I've been wrong. Or you find one place in the entire Bible where anybody was ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? The way 80% of you has been baptized? Find me one scripture where anybody was ever baptized that way, and I put a sign on my back, false prophet, and walk down the road with it like this. And show me where anybody was ever baptized in the new church that didn't have to come and be rebaptized over in, not in the name of Jesus only, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. If that isn't right. And here, what is it? She was a mother of harlots. What was made her a harlot? What made her a whore? Her doctrine. What made them a harlot? Her doctrine. And that's the reason we don't tolerate with their denominations and their dogmas. We stay clean with this Bible. I don't know how well you live it, but you're taught it anyhow. Right? That's up to you. I can't make you live it. I can only tell you what's the truth. That's why we're not a denomination. I wouldn't want to defile ourselves to get into such a stuff as that. Have to knock down in some kind of dogma. I'd rather take the way with the Lord's despised few. I'd rather stay clean and pure before the Word in God and stand there and say there's no man's blood upon my garment. That's why we stay at the Branham Tabernacle. That's why we're not assembly. That's why we're not oneness. That's why we're not Jesus only. That's why we're not Methodist. That's why we're not Baptist. It's just a little tabernacle here. We don't have no denomination at all. We're free in Christ. That's why we stay the way we do. And God has blessed us. God helping us. Now, we tell you why we take communion. We tell you why we take feet washing. Why we won't let the members take it if we know they're in sin. That's why this last 2 or 3 weeks I've been going from one member to the other. Where you've been having your little fusses around, too. Go around one and speak the other and pass one another on the road and turn your head. Shame on you! Who's puffed a blessed cup of God across this altar here and calls you brothers and sisters and then get on the telephone and gad off about one another?
You're
are not fit to be called Christian.
Right.
You keep off them telephones. If you can't talk good about somebody, don't you talk at all. Remember, God's going to hold you responsible. As long as that kind of spirit's in you, you know you're not right with God. If you don't feel if a man's in the wrong, go to him and be reconciled. If you can't be reconciled, take somebody with you. No wonder God can't discipline his church. Because you're not doing it right. Instead of getting on the phone and talking about this and what takes place in little cults and so forth around like that, instead of doing that, why don't you do what the Bible says? If some brother's been overtaken in the fault, go to him and see if you can't get reconciled with him. Well, now he did me, I don't care what he did, go to him anyhow. And then say for him to come to you, you go to him if he's wrong. You say, well, he was in the wrong, he ought to come to me. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said for you to go to him. If he's wrong, you go to him. And then if he won't listen to you, then take somebody with you as a witness. And then if you won't see that witness, then say, now take your pastor. Then you tell him, say, I'm going to tell it to the church. And in 30 days from now, if you, brother, haven't made that up, this brother here is willing to be reconciled, you won't do it. And if you won't make that up within 30 days, then what's going to happen? You're no more one of us. The Bible says if you won't hear the church, then let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. You see, as long as a brother is under that protection of the church, the blood of Christ is protecting him. That's the reason we don't get the church rolling on the way it does. Now, this is the doctrine of the Baptist Church of the Grand Tabernacle here. If you'll do it. See, one king, you get here and say, for instance, two men. Say, Leo and I. Well, you have to say, well, he wronged me. That don't make any difference. I'm supposed to go to him. He's a member of this church. He's become a Christian. He's taken the communion here at the rail with me. And we've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, walked upright as brothers before each other. Then something happens. It ain't the man. 90% of the time, it's the devil got between the people. It ain't the people. It's the devil. And as long as you let the devil do it, that's your harming your brother. It's right. Well, something wrong with Leo and I, let's go make it up. If you see there's something, it's your duty to come to it. Say, both you boys come here and get together. We go straighten this thing up. Now, then if he comes to there, they come to find out then, here we are. I say, well, first thing, we can't agree, then you come to the church like that. And then, if, as long as you don't do nothing about it, the blood of Jesus Christ protects us both. See? Well, then that old cancer will start another cancer. And that cancer will start another cancer. And the whole thing will be sick all over the whole church. Then you get to a place, you come into church, you're just cold, you'll have to have the janitor come break the icicles out before the congregation can get in. Now, you know that's right. Nicole, somebody sat around, you know, and just don't say nothing. No. We used to be so spiritual. What happened? You did run well. What was the matter? See? Your sin separates you. God holds you responsible for it, brother. I'll straighten this thing up. Nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with Leo. It's the devil got between us. Let's get the thing straightened out. Go to him. Then if he won't listen, or I won't listen, whichever way it is, then tell it to the church. If he don't come be reconciled to that church in 30 days, then he's brought from under the protection of Jesus. We loose him. That's exactly right. Then watch what takes place. Let God do the discipline then. You got your hands off. You've done the best you could. Then let God have you for a little bit. He'll turn him over to the devil. He will come then. If he don't, his life is just a short span. You remember the Bible? Where there's a brother that wouldn't get right with God? How many remembers the case? He lived with his foster mother. And they couldn't get him straightened out. Paul said, turn him over to the devil. For the destruction. You find out in 2 Corinthians, he got straightened out. I've got a brother. A good friend. I don't like to call his name. The preacher brother. And this preacher brother, his name's Brother Rasmussen. Many of you ministers sitting here tonight, his name's on your papers. Is that interdenominational out of Chicago? And look, he had a boy, a minister. And he went and married a Catholic girl, started off like that, and he's going to do this, that, and the other, got in some trouble. And his daddy went to him and said, now look, son, are you going to be reconciled to daddy? He called a church, a bunch of holy rollers, his daddy. He said, now look, are you going to straighten that thing up with this church? He said, now, daddy, you're my daddy, and I don't want to get any trouble with you. All right. Went got one of the deacons and went out to his house. Said, Wesley, I want to talk to you. Said, are you going to straighten this thing up at the church? And he'd give him a sharp two answer like that. Said, remember, Wesley, I'm the pastor of that church. I'm your daddy. But I'm going to do what God says to you. I'm giving you 30 days to make that right with that church, or we'll excommunicate you in the presence of God. You're my own son. That's my Savior. But I love you. You know I love you, Wesley. I'd die right now for you. But you've got to come straight with God's Word. He said, I'm the pastor, I'm the shepherd of that flock. If you're my child or whoever you are, you've got to line up with God's Word. If you don't do that, I'm not fit to be a shepherd. Boy, that's a pastor. That's a man. Don't you think so? That's a man. He told his boy that. And heard him, he said, but said, what? Who are you to hurt? The man who hurts your Savior. So he said, then we went on. And said, well, he wouldn't do it. And we told the church, he said, my own son, Wesley, he was precious to hear me in this matter. He refused to hear the deacon. You're a witness of this, brother so-and-so? Yes, I am. All right. Well, at 8 o'clock, next Sunday, 4 weeks from now, if he hasn't made that right with his church, we turn Wesley, my son, over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. This blood, the blood of, Jesus Christ in this church protects him no longer. And that night come, stood on the pulpit, said, he's got two more minutes. And time come, he said, now, as my son, Wesley Rasmussen, said to this congregation, to you, Almighty God, we've done all we can do according to your words and instructions of your Son, our Savior, has left us. We now, I turn my boy in this church with me over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul would be saved. That's all we said. Nothing went on for a week or two, maybe a month or two. One night, old Wesley took sick. And when he got sick, he kept getting sicker. He called a doctor. The doctor came up, examined him. He had a fever 105, couldn't find no reason for it. Just kept getting sicker. The doctor said, boy, I don't know what's happened to you. He didn't know what to do. He said, we'll call a specialist. They called a specialist, and the specialist came in there. They took him over to the hospital, examined him, everything else, and said, I just can't tell you. The boy just looked deathly. His wife's standing there crying and everything like that, and the children standing around the bed and everyone like that. He said, he's going. And that's all. He said, his pulse of respiration is going down all the time. He said, call daddy. Oh, that's the way to do it. That's it. Call daddy. And his daddy run out there to the hospital real quick to see. He said, daddy, I can't now, but God hears my words. I'll make everything right. I'll make it right. Yes, I will. Yes, sir, brother. Right then his respiration began to come back normal. And the following Sunday, he was up before the church. He said, I have sinned before God in the presence of this church. I refuse to hear the pastor's words. I refuse to hear the deacon here. And said, I'm asking this church to forgive me for the evil that I have done. I said, that God has spared my life. I say, he lines up right. That's what you got to do, see. You just do it God's way. See? Now, see what we do. We have a board meeting, and we say, well, now, should we keep, I don't say the tabernacle, but I mean us Protestant people. We have a board meeting, and what do you think about Jones? What do you think we ought to do with him? I think he'd make the Methodists a better member than he does, but there you are. That's wrong. That's the reason we don't have to follow their tradition, and some bishop, we have to call him, or some, what did you call him, district man, this Pentecostal church, district presbyter, call him in to see the conduct of this man. The Bible tells us what to do. That's the reason we don't fool with their denomination. We stay free from that thing. Amen. Not mad at me, are you? Don't you do it. I'm probably getting some awful good questions tomorrow night, but that's right, see. Remember, no, I say this now, you people here from different denominational churches. Your denomination is, brother, I'm not saying that you're not a Christian. I'm not saying your denomination isn't thousands of lovely Christians in there. I'm trying to say the reason that we are not a denomination. Because I just wouldn't stand for that. No, sir. I sure wouldn't. We're trying to tell you what to do. If God called me to preach the gospel, then I preach it the way God tells me to do it. That's just the way it's wrote here. If I don't line up with this, then that's God will judge me for it. But if I see the wolf coming or the enemy coming and I fail to warn him, then God requires me. But if I warn you, then it's up to you then. See, remember, there in the last days, a perilous time shall come. Man shall be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers. See, blasphemers, all them bunch of idiots. The days of miracles are past. There's no such thing as an old false prophet.
Now, we know that our women have just as much sense as our men. I am not disputing that a bit, but God's Bible said, keep her out of the pulpit. That's good enough for me. That's right. All right. And said, well, in our denomination, we got just as many nice people as you got over that tabernacle. I don't say that a bit, but the Bible condemns denominations. That's right. And so, I ain't saying you ain't got fine members in your church. That's wonderful. They are fine people. Some of the finest people, I meet them in all of them, Catholics and all through. All of them, I meet fine members. Now, the way we're going to bring this out, friend, is the Lord willing, in these next couple of studies, maybe I'll let you know tomorrow morning whether we have to run tomorrow afternoon or not, see, to get it out. The reason we're trying to do it, I want to bring it down to a spot now. Now, if you want to bring someone with you, you're perfectly welcome to do it. But remember, now, don't go away and just kind of find fault or come here. I'm just talking to my congregation, you see. I don't teach this outside my congregation here because that's the other man's business. That he's the shepherd of that flock, and I'm just the, right back to Genesis. You'll pull it right through and see where it's at. Now, we're going back to Genesis to find out why that illegitimate child would not enter the congregation of the Lord for 14 generations. I take that'd be 400 years for that sin to run out. How we're going to find out how that the righteousness of the parents' visit to the children and children, how that started in Genesis, and so forth. And then you'll see how that go all the way back that God, before the foundation of the world, before one atom ever bursted, back in before there ever was a light meter ever come into existence, God knew every creature and everything that ever be on the earth. Is there anyone here, you could not explain what the word, and break it down and say what the word of infinite means? It's like turning your camera to infinite. It's just from there on. That's all, see? Infinite. And we can't in a finite mind ever comprehend what the infinite mind could conceive. See, we can't do that. You can't do it. See? But if you just want, hold in the spirit, you can feel it way off there. And then you get back here to Scripture, and you'll see now, see, way before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. Now, listen real close so some of you won't be in tomorrow to hear it finish up. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Is that right? When was he slain? From the foundation. That's the world. If it's made out of a bunch of broken up atoms, pulled off the sun yonder before it was that, then before there was an atom ever first broke in the sun, if this is a meter off the sun, which would be 100 billion trillion of years back, before there was even one light meter, Christ was slain. When God's great mind settles on one thing, it's a finished product. When God says, let there be. It's already finished. It's taken 100 billion years to run out. It's already finished. As soon as he said it. And when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, the same Bible, the same Spirit wrote and said, our names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Amen. So the man that wrote the song, there's a new name written down in glory. He had good meanings, but he was unscriptural. See, that name was wrote down in glory when the world, when before the world ever began, when the Lamb was slain, our names were put on the Lamb's book of life. Let me just get you one little scripture. Will you hold on just 1 minute? This comes in my mind. I think I can turn right to it. I'm not sure. And I'm sorry to keep you this long, but I told you it'd be midnight. It ain't quite that bad, but I just like to... to get this one scripture here. Turn with me now to the book of Romans. And I want you to read this with me. Now, let's see. Romans, if I can find it just about right here. Now, let's get Romans 8 and let's start 28, verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. And I want you to just read it. Well, prayerfully with me now. Listen here. This is what God said now. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. Can you read with me? For whom he did foreknow, he also did
predestinated, all right, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. From the foundation of the world, when God looked down, now God don't run His office and say, well, I'm going to, oh, what are we going to do now? See, there is nothing, remember, unrighteousness, sin is righteousness perverted. The devil cannot create. Does everyone all understand that? That's the doctrine of this church. The devil cannot create. He can pervert what God has created. Now, what is perversion? Here. You all look like adults, mostly. Listen to this. We're married people. If you married man and you married women can live together as husband and wife, and then women are just the same as they never were. They're virgins. As long as you stay with your husband. Right. Now, that's legal and lawful, and it's all right. It's ordained of God to do so. Another woman can do the same acts of your wife. One of them, you're righteous in the sight of God in the same act to another woman, you're condemned before God to death. What is it? Righteousness perverted. See? Righteousness perverted. Now, the devil cannot create, but he perverts what God has already created. What is a lie is the truth perverted. Somebody said, oh, it was Saturday night, 9 o'clock. Yep. Bill Branham was in Jeffersonville, correct? Down at Anson's Saloon Drunk. A lie. What was it? I was in Jeffersonville, that's true. It was the righteousness perverted to a lie. See what I mean? See? A lie perverts right. It's something he told where I was at. Now, he said, at the church, preaching. Correct. That's righteousness. He told the truth. At the tavern, drinking. A lie perverted. See? Truth perverted. See what I mean? All unrighteousness is righteousness perverted. Death, what is it? Life perverted. Sickness, health perverted. You're supposed to be a good, strong man. All right? If you're sickly, what is it? Your health is perverted. See? That's all there is to it. What is it? You used to be young, beautiful women, and strong, beautiful men. Now you're wrinkled and getting old. What is it? Life perverted. See? Coming right back around again. See? And it has to come back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God has promised to bring it back. Just as sure as it is, we know it's here. So just as sure as it is, God's going to bring it again. He promised and has sworn He'd do it. That's what gives us. Now, I know what kind of people ought we to be? Now, notice how these things take place. Now, those who He foreknew, He called, those who He called, He justified, those when before the foundation of the world. Before the world ever began. Now, if we could take this scripture and really justify it, we take hours on it. But we don't want to do that. But all this unrighteousness here is righteousness perverted to unrighteousness. That's what the devil does. Now, when you come to the age of accountability, and you know what's wrong and right, you're supposed to turn from your wrong because you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Now, you're actually born as a sexual desire, and then you must be born again in order to receive a new birth to enter into heaven, because this kind of birth you have here, you see, where the Jehovah Witness would be so far wrong there to think that the new birth is a resurrection of the body. You see, it couldn't be. See, it's got to be something, you're in a time space, and the only thing that's eternal is something that had no beginning or no end. Anything eternal never had a beginning or never will have an end. See? So if you're a part of God, the Spirit that's in you never had a beginning or never will have an end, and you're eternal with the Spirit that's in you. See? Like the agapo love, then it comes down to filial love, and then down to lust love. It just keeps going on down and on down, perverting on down, just becomes a just conglomeration of what mess. Well, the only way Jesus came down that same ladder down here to pick up and take back again to the highest form from the lowest form. From death unto life. From sickness see? He can come from the highest to the lowest that he might bring the lowest to the highest. He become me that I might, through his grace, become him. An heir of the throne. Hey, glory. See what I mean? Those things. Now look. Way back, before this world started and them Adams back under, when God seen what was going to take place, right there, he saw you, he saw me, he saw every flea, every fly, every frog, every gnat, everything that ever be on the earth, he saw it right then. Sure he did. Now, he never said, I'll send my son down and let him die, and maybe somebody will have pity on him, and it'll be such a pitiful case. Next, perhaps, maybe somebody might get saved. He foreknew who would be saved. Yes, sir. He said, Esau and I, Cain and Jacob, I love before either one ever had a chance to prove what they was, because he knew what they was. He knew. He knows everything. He knew what you'd do before you was born, or when the world began. Now, look. As you know, I'm a rifleman. I like rifles. And some woman in Texas, I believe it's Texas, bought me a Swift. A 220 Swift, always wanted one, won't investigate it. It's the most powerful shooting little gun. It's a 22 bullet, 48 grain bullet. And you can hand load that. Now, the factory says don't do it. It's too dangerous. But you can hand load that bullet to 5,000 feet per second and still hold it in its place. 5,000 feet per second. That's a mile a second. In other words, a hawk sitting at 200 yards, you shoot the hawk, see the feathers fly before the gun ever kick you. See? That's, but you take the flat part of a toothpick and get into your powder and pour that much more in there, just enough that you can hold on a toothpick, and you shoot at a ground hawk sitting at the end of this building here, and he just sit and look at you. What's the matter? The bullet disintegrates. It's going so fast, and you can put a sheet between here and there, and you'll never even see one little fossil fall on the sheet. It just turns back not to ashes, volcanic ashes, but it goes farther than that. It goes back to the original acid that makes copper and lead that's in there. It goes back like it was 100 billion years ago. Now here is a little bullet, 48 grains of bullet I'm holding in my hand, and the next second it's turned back to what it was 100 million years ago. And if the world would probably stand another 100 million years, it would be back a bullet again. Could be brought right back. For you form right into copper. Now look what God did, and then you'll love him, and you go home, and in the morning you sleep a little late, and you love him more than ever. Now, God is a contractor. How many know that? He's a builder. All right, listen real close. Now, God, back there, they say, now, we're going to take the chronologist's idea of it. God, 100 billion years ago, when he was going to make the world, well, he just started ahead. He got an idea in his mind. Now, you're going to say, if he's that great, Brother Branham, how did he ever permit the devil to make sin? Well, he knew before the devil was ever created that he would be the devil. Amen. Glory! Now if you're religious. Oh, my. He knew before the devil was created that he would be the devil. You what about that? You say, why did he let him be the devil? That he might be proven to be God. That's right. When was there ever unrighteous? Well, which was first? A savior or a sinner? Which was first? A savior. Which was first? A healer or a sick person? Why was there permitted to be a sinner? Because the attributes of him is a savior. If you've never been a sinner, he's never been known as a savior. Hallelujah! He can make all things wind around to his glory. Can the potter say to thee, or can the pot say to the potter, you made me thus? Who's on the wheel? Who's got the clay? Whose hands is it in? Calls it, old foolish man. Didn't he say to raise Pharaoh for this very purpose? Certainly he knew before there was a world, he knew who it would be. Why. And he let there be sin that he might be a savior. He let there be sickness that he might be a healer. He let there be hate that he might be love. Sure he did. God, and that's his attributes, and he has to have something to display his attributes. How would you ever know there was a night? How would you ever know there's any, if it was all daylight, how would you ever know there was night? There's a night, so it's approved daylight. Sure there is. Amen. You see what he did? But when he was back together before the foundation of the world, before he took this old sun and he moved it around, this old star that we're living on now, this earth,
and he molded over here to the sun and laid it around the sun. Say, here's the sun. He molded it on this side and let it hang there for 100 billion years. What was he making? Some gases. He moved around on this side and he made something else. What was he making there? Some potash. He moved around this way. What was he doing here? Making some calcium. What was he doing? He was making you and me. What was he doing? Like the contractor laying out all of his tube of fours, his tube of eight, his sheeting, his siding. You know just how many buildings he was going to build. We're made out of 16 elements of the earth, and he was making us all and laying us out there before the world ever come into. And he might have been oblong at that time. I don't know what it was. What was he making gold and copper and brass and water all washed up for? He's a contractor. He's made a builder. He's laying everything out there, had everything cut in fashion. When he got it all made, it's just a great big volcanic eruption. He let them old volcanics root up there for 100 million years to make some calcium. What is this part of you? And then before there was one speck of life on this earth, our bodies were laying here. Hallelujah. Before one drop of moisture ever came on the earth, we were laying here. When Adam walked up and down the Garden of Eden, I was laying here. Yes, sir. Oh, glory. When the cherubs, the morning stars, came together to tumble about shouting, I was laying here. Just waiting for the breath of life to come. I was here. He made me here. Have a body laying here. Yes, sir. It wasn't where did it come from. Huh? How did he get here? God had it laying here. God made it. We're made out of 16 elements. Petroleum, potash, cosmic light, and what more? See? We were laying here. Then what happened? Then God said to the Holy Ghost, we're just taking symbol for him. Now you go forth and you go to making love to that world. Because I'm love and you're a product of me. So now you go make love to the world. And the big Holy Ghost, we think, come out there just in picture form. Now it wasn't that way. Of course, the Holy Ghost and God are the self-same purpose. Person. Pardon me. And just say he sowed his wings around the earth. He began to brooding. What's that brooding? Like the hens or chickens cooing, making love. Cluck, cluck, cluck. Oh, life. Come forth! He screamed. He looked around. Beauty on this earth. Come forth, life. The Holy Ghost is moving. When he did, I look coming, there's creaking down the hill, and here comes some calcium pouring down. It mixes with potash. What's it folding into? Life. Come forth. And a little Easter fire stuck its head up from under a rock. Come here, Father, look at that. That looks good. Just keep on brooding. He brewed out the flowers. He brought out all the vegetation. He brought out the animal life. Birds flew out of the dust. As you out, up come a man and woman. Up come a man. And the man was both man and woman. Not hermaphrodite now. Just in him, there was a feminine spirit. When you take a man that's so sissified, he may be all right, bounced up all right, but there's something wrong. And when you take a woman, wash her. Tough her hair, put her overalls, she's out there. What's going on, tell you? There's something wrong. A woman has the feminine spirit, and a man is masculine. We know that. Hey, you know that. Does a woman look right because of me, act like a man? Well, I sat one time, I was game warden here, and I sat on the bus and went up there and was smacking that woman on the leg with my hand talking to her, and I didn't know it was a woman. She had on a one-eyed welder's cap and a big pair of dogs like that. And I was sitting right back there, and she was telling something about something done. She said, you know, and she said, and last night, just as rough looking as she'd be smoking a cigarette. She said, last night, I'll tell you, that fella slipped up on top of that thing. He said, I ain't come sliding down through there. I said, I never laughed so much in my life. And I was like, oh, yeah, the boy, that was one with him. Is that a talk like that? And if she didn't take that thing off and shake her head, and she had a mop up there, that she was a woman. I never felt so little in my life. I said, are you a woman? She said, well, sure. I said, pardon me. I never seen such. Now, that's the truth. I see the sign of the day like to thrill me. It had a big sign that said, ladies, ready to wear clothes. I thought, praise God for that.
But come to find out, it's just some kind of clothes they already made. You know, I thought she's really going to put on clothes.
I really did. The ladies are ready to wear clothes, I think. Praise God for them. That's good. I sure thank the Lord for that. But see, it's just some kind of clothes they already made. That'd be something funny with it in this country. All right. Then when Adam come up, and then Adam looked lonesome, so he taken a rib from his side and made Eve, a byproduct for him. He taken the feminine spirit out of Adam and put it in the woman, the love spirit, feminine, kind, gentle, and he left the masculine spirit in Adam. Now, if there's anything different, there's a perversion somewhere. Now, and then they two was one. And so let's just take a little drama, man, before we close. Here Adam takes Eve by the arm and they walk out. I just love this story. And they walk out, you know, and Eve said, "Oh, darling, you mean you have..." "Yes, I named that. But what do you call that?" "That's called horse." "Mm-hmm. What's that?" "That's cow." "Mm-hmm. You named that?" "Yeah." "Mm-hmm. What do you call that?" "That's..." "Them two sitting there with their heads together. That's lovebird." "Oh, I see." "And going like that. What's this over here?" "I call that that." "And this shirt." "And, oh, I see. Uh-huh, that's beautiful." "And a lion roars." "What do you call that?" "That's the lion." "What's this?" "A tiger." "And all like, oh, I see. Just like kittens, you know. Meowing around." So Rachel Wild, she looks around. She said, "Darling, look at there. The sun's going down. It's time to go to church." You know, there's just something about when the sun sets, you want to worship. If you don't go to church that night, you like to get in the room, read the Bible. How many like to do that? Yell for yourself. See? It's just in a man to do that. You should do that. "Time to go to church." Now, they said, "Now, wait a minute. Now, Jones belongs to the same and we belong to the..." No, it wasn't nothing like that then. So they just went up. They didn't have a church, good seat to sit on, like that. They just went up to another great big cathedral of the woods and knelt down, and that halo was hanging down in the bushes. See? I hear a voice speak down and say, "Have my children enjoyed themselves upon the earth today that the Lord thy God has given thee? Yea, Lord, we've enjoyed ourselves today. Haven't we, darling?" "Yes. Yes, there we have. Lord, we shall appreciate you. Now I lay me down to sleep." See? And he lays his big arm out, and she lays down on his arm, and he lays the tiger down, and the lion down, and everything down to sleep. So peaceful. So God comes down, and he brings down all bunch of angels. Gabriel is a creation of heaven. So they come down, and they tiptoe real easy into the bedroom. See? Look around. Gabriel said, "Come here, Father. Come here. Look here. Here he is. Here lays your children laying here." How many in here ever went to the bedside, some of you mothers, you and Dad together, and look at the little boy, the little girl, and you just remind one another, don't he look like you this way and that way? Did you ever do that? Well, many times I go and say to Meadie, say to about Joseph, she'll say, "Billy's got a high forehead like you." "Yeah. But Meadie's got big eyes like you." "Why?" "He's a part of our product. He's product of our union." Now, and the father said, and says about this, said, "You know," Aunt Gabriel said, "you know, he looks just like you." "That's how God looks. Look at yourself. That's how God looks. He looks like you. You're his offspring." How many knows that?
Yes.
See? Now watch. What's the lowest form of life we have? Frog. What's the highest form of life? Human. Certainly. And what is the highest form? It just kept coming from the lowest. On up, from a frog to a this and to that and to the bird and to all so forth, the higher forms of life, until it comes to the highest form it could come. Then it was made in the image of God. There you are. And the woman was not made in the image of God, but in the image of man. See? Now there they are. And God looks at her and said, "Yes, they look lovely." What was that, brother? They never had to die. That was just the first handful of calcium, the first potash, and everything started off like that. Isn't it beautiful? But sin came along and marred the picture. Now, what did he permit it to be, like we talked about a while ago? He permitted it so that he could prove that he was a Savior. He done it, he let sickness happen so he could prove that he was a healer. He let death happen to prove that he was life. See? He let all these bad things happen to prove that he was good, what he was. You talk about singing the redemption story? Why, brother, when Jesus comes, this church will stand out on the rims of this earth and sing stories of redemption when angels are bowed their head not knowing what we're talking about. Well, they never was lost. They don't know what we went through. We know what it means to be lost and be found. Oh, can we scream his praises? He's not a Savior to them. They never needed his saving. He was a healer to them. Oh, Lord! He isn't right
you're a reverend son? No, 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 no. All glory to him. There you are.
Then we'll tell the story how we overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. There. There, isn't that there? Then what happened? Did God then just say, well, I might as well just simply destroy all my potash and calcium. It's all ruined. No, no. He knows it's going to be that way. Now, if the Holy Spirit made me what I am, and I eat food and got back in my body and built up to what I am now, I was made and formed. Every picture that God saw before the foundation of the world materializes. See? It comes forth as a woman, as he said it would. The next time it comes forth from God. It comes that time by woman. It comes this time by man. See? Comes that time by a sexual desire. Comes this time by a spoken word of God. There, now, can anything harm me? No, sir. There is nothing can harm us. Paul said, it's either in things present, things come, sickness, death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. There isn't a thing can separate us. Now, I told a little story. I'm just about 5 hairs of being bald-headed completely. I told me those few years some time ago. My wife said, Billy, you're almost bald-headed. I said, but I haven't lost a one of them. She said, where are they at? I said, where was he before I got them? See? Wherever where they was before I got them. Now, there was one time, 100 years ago, these hairs wasn't here at all. But they were out here in the dust. Is that right? Then about 50 years ago, they begin to come on my head. They come from where? Out of the dust. And now they're returning back to where they was. Is that right? They was not, then they were, and now they are not. What is it? What made them what they are? God! Yes. There he is! He painted a picture! Is that the way of life? Oh, death, where is your stain? Yes. Grave, where is your victory? You may bury me one of these days from here. I don't know, but brother, I'll be dead. I'll tell you that. No, sir. Oh, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. On that resurrection morning, when death's reward are broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. There's nothing can keep me from rising. Near enough death and all hell to keep me from rising. From rising. I have the promise of God. I have the Holy Spirit. I got Zoe, God's eternal life, resting in here. This old carcass comes from there, and God brewed me out of the ground. And if he who brewed me out of the ground, when I become of age, every time I hear a church bell, something will speak to me. A little bitty boy, an angel spoke from the bush, said, don't you ever drink or smoke? I got a work for you to do. Don't defile your body to run around with women and things. You, I got something for you to do and get older. Who are you? Who are you? You'll know more about that later. After a while, here he comes. He hangs down at the baptism. He shows himself. He declares himself. He answers, I've seen standing out everywhere on every hand. How are you going to? If he made me what I am without having any choice at all? I don't went back here and said, now, Charlie Brennan, you marry Ellie Harvey and bring forth me out of the earth. No, sir. I never had no choice of that. God did that. If he made me what I am without a choice, how much more will that Holy Ghost source of brooding over me and I say, yeah, Lord, you're my creator. I love you and I accept you as my Savior. How are you going to hold me in the dust? Just can't do it, brother. Just can't do it. God never formed one piece of this calcium or potash or anything else that ever be wasted. All the Father has given me before the foundation of the world will come to me. Woo! I feel like shouting my head. Shall be lost, but I'll raise it up again in the resurrection. I heard him call, and I come to him. How can they keep me in the dust of the earth? And enough undertakers in the world that pat me in the face with a shovel would ever keep me in the dust of the earth. I shall rise someday and stand in his likeness, washed in his blood, born of his spirit. Hallelujah. At all denominations you want to, I'll take Jesus. Amen. The insurance man came to me, Wilmer Snyder, a good friend of mine. He said, Billy, won't sell you an insurance policy. I said, I already got it. My wife looked around and said, what are you lying for, boy? I said, you got insurance? I said, yes, sir. So what company is it with? What is it? I said, blessed assurance.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. He said, that's good for him, but I won't touch in the graveyard. I said, it'll get me out. Hallelujah. I ain't worried about getting there. It's getting out. So I've got the insurance that tells me I bring all the Father has given me. I don't care what my daddy done, what my mama done, what anything was. All the Father gives me will come to me. And no man can come that my Father draws me. Hallelujah. Why did he go from a foreknowing before the foundation of the world when I slayed the Lamb? I slayed him with him. Amen. I predestinated the church. What kind of predestination? The church. How do you get the church? By one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body. He knew before the foundation of the world that we would be there. And those who he foreknew, he has called. Those who he has called, he has justified. Those who he has justified, he's already glorified. In God's books, he done said, you'll meet me right there. Need all devils out of hell can ever keep them anywhere else but keep them from coming right there. Because God has already said so and has settled it. If 100 billion years before the world was ever formed, the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy before there was a foundation of the world. See, before there was a foundation, and that angels and everything was happy shouting about it, before there was a foundation of the world, how is the devil ever going to keep me in the dust here? Just can't get it. You're right. See, now, this is Democrat time I got over here. This is 20 minutes to 11. That's only 20 minutes to 10. Is that right, Brother Wood? That's right. 20 minutes to 10. Everybody happy? Oh, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. And I feel like traveling. You like them old songs like that? Used to be an old one we used to sing about. Something like grace and mercy found me there, the morning star showed. What is that, Sister Gertie? What is Brother Neville? See, grace and mercy found me there, the bright morning star showed its glands around me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the cross. Give us the chord, Sister. That's near the cross. Come up here. Oh, I love these. How many like some old inspired songs? You can have all your jump up and down boogie woogie. You won't give me this. Here's where grace and mercy found me. That's it. Jesus.
In the cross.
mountain. How many know the room, room? Yes, there is room. Room at the mountain. When you do it now, real quietly, just reach over to the side and just shake hands with that brother. You know, there's room now for all Methodists. There's room for Baptists. There's room for the Pentecost. There's room for all of us now at the mountain. How many know the old song? Oh, sure you do. Some of you old timers now, this is a good old Kentucky song now. The latest sermons and some of the nice writings that went forth originally in new books, new editions, will all be set up in the end of the building this next Wednesday night. And we're expecting a good time in the Lord. Come pray now. Now call your sick and afflicted, write him a letter, get him in here. We'll just, God will just move mightily. And we know that he'll do it now. And now, I've went to everybody that I know of, have little something, if there's anything out of the way now. You remember I told you a long time ago, we was going to get it straightened up. And I know that you know there's a different spirit here than what there was. That's right. And don't let it leave no more. I charge you before Jesus Christ. Don't let it leave. Stay right here with us. See? Just keep everything ironed right down and move right on. You are a brother. It's never your brother or sister that does anything wrong. It's that spirit of the devil gets in there. See? He goes, and just feel sorry for the brother or the sister. And Lord, Satan, get in between. If you have some feeling about it, you get that out of you right quick, you see, because it'll canker you. Yes, it will. So stay away from it. Just remember, there's room, room, plenty of room. There's room for the Methodists, room for the Baptists, room for the Presbyterians, room for all. Room, room, yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain. How many remembers our old dismissing song that, take the name of Jesus with you? Child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. Will you stay with us, Brother Jeffries, to you, Sister Jeffries, and the boys there and on. And at the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. Oh, my. King of kings, the heaven of crowning, when our journey is done. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take it as a shield today. Oh, when temptation draws, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, I love that. That wonderful name of Jesus. Now, let's stand up right now. I'll be standing now. All right. Take the name of Jesus with you. Let's bow our heads down real quietly. Let's raise up one hand and say, at the name of Jesus, bow we call him prostrate at his feet. King of kings and heaven will crown him. Oh, when our journey is complete. Joy of heaven, praise the Lord.
continually bow, we say,